All right, the book of Isaiah chapter 42, we are reading from verse 5, and we are going to take it all the way to verse 13. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise to the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise to the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. Hallelujah. Say he will prevail against his enemies. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, a day that the Lord has made, a day in which you are speaking to us and we are drinking of your spirit again. Thank you for packaging something special for everybody listening to these words. Lord, we know you have done that. People of God, listen to this. As you are hearing these words, the spirit of faith will enter into you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say it again, the spirit of faith will enter into you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now we declare as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let's quickly get into the teaching. Can we open our Bibles again? Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. We'll start from Romans chapter 1 to take a text of the Holy Scriptures. Let me read from the New Living Translation. From verse 13, it's a very long read. That's why I'm taking a very simple translation. Again, as usual, to save time, I will jump when I can. So I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. Now, why? I want to walk among you and see spiritual fruits, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome, too, to preach the good news. Now, why am I eager to preach it? Please, I'm going to pause and comment on this verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God to work, saving everyone who believes. The Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news, Paul says, tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Please, I want you to note that this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. as the scriptures say, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. You know the funny thing? It's so explicit, you know, because it says the righteous shall live by faith. Most people think that it means the righteous shall operate by faith. No, what it means is that the righteous shall... That's why I wrote a book years ago titled By Faith Acquire Life. Because I was reading, I said, no, this thing is being misread. I didn't even know the Bible would come out. All right. I don't think the Living Translation was there then. But this is such a beautiful rendering. It says, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. That is what that scripture was saying, or is saying. Many times people read that the righteous live by faith. So they say, I'm living by faith. Ah, yeah, no, I'm just living by faith. No, it means if, rather than dying, it's faith that will keep them alive. That's what they were saying. That's the meaning of, it's so beautiful. I never noticed in the New Living Translation before. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. He said, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. This is so, it's so explicit. And I know this to be a matter of fact. All right? I know it as a matter of fact. If anybody studies life, you see, anybody, if you see a scientist, a serious scientist, an advanced scientist, who says he doesn't believe in God, or he says there's no God? You know what Paul said about him? And I know it to be true personally. He's lying. It's a lie. He has suppressed the truth because of wickedness. Now, let me explain what that means. That's a very practical thing. It means that once I agree there's God, you know the next thing? I have to obey him. I have to find out what he's saying. Now, I'm trying to use this word and not mislead. Okay, yeah, I found a way to say it. What people hate about that is a control he will try to exert on their fleshly pleasures. Do you follow my point? People don't have any problem with God if he's not going to try to control their life. In fact, I heard a man say it once. I couldn't believe what I heard. We have a new pope now. Pope Leo the 14th, right? Yeah. The first American pope. Before him was Pope Francis. Before that, Pope Francis was Pope Benedict. Now, when Benedict was chosen as pope, there was, of course, in the secular media, there was a lot of noise made about his conservative nature. So people, of course, you can imagine where CNN would be. And they wanted the church... I don't know why people do like that. Do your thing and leave the church alone. They wanted the church to align with current trends on sexual promiscuity, on sexual deviancy and all of that. The current trends. With the church, at least, as at all the days of Pope Benedict, before then and during his days, refused. It's just this last pope that we started wondering, we don't know, all right? So I was sitting down. That was at Niue. I was in the doctor's lounge there. And we were watching the news and people were discussing it. So one guy, specialist doctor, he turned to me that, what's the church trying to do? They should just tell people about God. Listen, they should tell people about God and not tell them how to live their lives. Did you hear what I said? I looked at the man. I didn't know how to react. Do you know? There are certain things you can't even react to. So the church should be telling people about God, not telling them how to live their lives. Now, I can see how these your faces are. Like, what's the meaning of that? I don't know too. The church should be telling people about God, not how to live their lives. Now, in case you do not know, that's what the world actually wants. You find it ridiculous. Because you don't mind God telling you how to live your life. I mean, I can't imagine Samsung or Apple or Sony selling me a device and telling me how to use it. They should just sell their devices and go away. I mean, Dell makes a computer and he wants to tell me how to use it. Do I look stupid to Dell? They should just sell a computer and not tell me how to use it. That's exactly how silly it is when you say, I should tell you about God and not tell you how to live your life. Now, please, this Bible is very practical. It's real. See, this thing that you see Paul saying here is exactly how human beings are. When they say there's no God, it's a lie. I told you that day I was explaining something to my daughter. And she said, just talking about, in fact, that's the specific way if you're learning about the placenta. So I now said, after I finished explaining, this young woman opened her mouth and said, somebody will not tell me this came by chance and there's no God. How can? Now, that's a young, yes, you may say she's from a Christian home. She has a Christian background. I thank God for that. But she was using simple logic. Because when I explained how intricate some of the processes are, you say, such things happen by chance? Of course they don't. This thing Paul is saying here is clear. There's no thing, they lie. Once I was watching a particular debate, a Nobel Prize winner is a chemist, all right? Now, I don't know his name. It's not the name that comes to my mind easily. So he was interviewing Richard Dawkins. Now, Richard Dawkins is a celebrated atheist. He's a biologist. So he said something, which is what God is just saying you should say. He said, all right, he just told Dawkins that, listen. Now, for information, Dawkins is very vociferous about his denial of God. In fact, it's as if you listen to Dawkins, you know he has a special beef. You know what they say in English? American English especially. He has a special beef to pick with God. Deep in his heart, Dawkins knows there's God, but he's angry with him. So he's trying to pay God back by going out to campaign that, God, you see what I will do to you. Yeah. Because he's supposed to be an intelligent man. When you see an intelligent man talking so foolishly, there's something else that's up. Do you get my point? That's how you know. One day, I won't tell you where. I was walking somewhere. So we made a suggestion to the boss. So one of us, my seniors, went and told the boss, please, we should do this, like this, this, like this. And the boss said, no, that can't be done. Why? And they gave a reason. That senior man came back. He said, oh, guy is sharing the money. Did you hear what I said? He said, this boss is sharing the corrupt money. Because we're trying to stop a form of corruption. All he said, I remember him, he just walked in. He said, oh, guy is sharing the money. When he saw an intelligent man give an answer that did not tie, he didn't argue. He understood the ranks and all of that. He just said, yes, sir. And he left and told us, guys, relax. There's no point beating your head. The man is... Why? Because a bribe makes a wise man foolish. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Yes. You will see a wise man will suddenly become foolish. In the same manner, when you see an intelligent person who can't seem to add two and two together, listen, four does not favor him. So he skirts around it. He dances around it. He can't seem to see it. Just know there's something else he's not telling you. I have a friend that quotes this saying of mine. I invented it. I said, when an adult tells you 2 + 2 = 5, I said, don't argue. He has added one that he's not telling you about. Don't try to prove to him that 2 + 2 = 4. He knows 2. He knows. But there's something else that's critical that he has added which he didn't tell you about. So that day they were interviewing Richard Dawkins. And that man said to Dawkins, he said, let's just think about it. Maybe there's God.
Is are you open to this possibility that maybe he's there, but we don't know him, or he's so far away, we don't know where to find him? That man just tried to paint a picture that, I mean, like, look at this complexity of life. Could he have come out of nothing? Now, this man's speaking. I can describe him as an agnostic. He doesn't claim to be a Christian or a faith man in any regard. He said, what about this possibility? And Dawkins said that he's not open to that possibility at all. Why? He said, for one person to be able to do all of this, create all of this, listen to what Dawkins said, listen carefully. He said he has to be extremely intelligent. And I almost fainted. I said, please, everybody, make space, make space. This guy wants to faint for just 5 minutes. Is that not why we call him God? And then to you, chance is more intelligent than a potential God. That was the day I made up my mind. I said, Dawkins is lying. It's a lie. He knows the truth. What I'm telling you, all right, by all these stories, is that what the Bible is saying right here is real. It's practical. All you need to do is look at life. And nobody will be able to tell you it came by chance. Just by the way, scientifically, it has been proven. This was published, I think, earlier this year or late last year. It has been proven by mathematical modeling that the order in life could not have arisen by chance. Now, it's been published in scientific journals, so I'm not telling you something that we church people are saying. There's what they call the infinite monkey theory. For those of you who want to learn big things. What they call the infinite monkey theory is this. And think about it, it makes sense. All right? That if you leave a keyboard, and leave a monkey. Now, no keyboard, a monkey, to just be striking the keys by chance. That given enough time, you will type out, as an example, the whole Bible by chance. That just doing like this. That all those random keys is pressing. A day will come, if you give enough time, maybe 1 billion years, 50 billion years, that the monkey will end up typing. Okay, let's just make it easy so that you can easily relate with it. It will end up typing a beautiful letter to his neighbor. Now, this mathematician sat down and built a very nice model. At the end of the day, you know what they found out? That no matter the length of time, give the amount of time that the earth has existed, that the universe, by scientific calculation, 14 point something billion years, that it is not enough time for the monkey to make one intelligent sentence. By chance. That you won't find one intelligent sentence. That no matter how simple it is, 14 billion years randomly picking keys, you can't get there. So maybe you need 100 billion years. Maybe you need, basically, it's impossible. Yet, what they said the monkey couldn't bring by chance is much, much simpler than the code inside bacteria. I'm emphasizing again that the Bible is simply true. When Paul says to you that they lie, you know what? They lie. And you know why they lie? Let me just say it again. It is simply because they want to commit sexual immorality. That's all. That's 90% of the reason is that's what I've given you. 10% is the other things. If God would just say, okay, guys, when you are chasing other people's wives, I will not look. They will be in church every Sunday worshiping. What do you mean? They will worship. They will worship. Is that a restriction? That's the problem. A king deposed remove the whole country from a church because he wanted to marry another wife. And the bishop said no. You don't know how this marry somebody, carry one woman is so powerful. There's one particular church, that's how it started. That is how powerful these things are. Well, I spent all this time just to tell you what, this statement is real. Let me add one to you. For that reason, don't argue with anybody. Yeah, when people say there's no God, don't try to prove. Just this, oh, is that so? That's not what I think. Oh. Just leave it there. Do you get my point? All this debate and this is not necessary. When they need help, they will come. I can't forget that thing I heard. I think Pastor Cosmo Sokolo said, it was quoting somebody though, but it was two Sundays ago in TTA. That's Pastor Kimote's church. That's when I heard it. He said, you shall be my witnesses, not my advocates. You hear what I said? You shall be what? Witnesses. What's an advocate? He goes to court to argue. He said, look, Jesus said, you'll be my what? Witnesses. So there's no need to argue. You want to know the truth? Just be there when they need you. Don't harass anybody. Just let them know you are available. Because Nicodemus spirit is out there. You see people shouting in front, no, I can't use it. Are you Christians? That's it. Just laugh with them. But let them know your stance. When they're stealing money, that's why you can't afford to compromise your Christianity. Let me just, I'll get back to my message in a moment, but this is how today morning's go. We just gist. Is that okay? Don't compromise your Christianity. What did I say? Don't compromise your Christianity. Don't. You Christian men in offices that join them to chase women, you are a candidate for hellfire. You will lose your salvation. Let this woman be lying to you that they can't have salvation. You can. Please, let me just say this to you. Yeah? I preached a message long ago, how to change the world. I told somebody once, it was time to argue with me. I said, I've never got time for argument. Leave it. I said, how do you change the world? I said, you can't. I've studied scriptures enough. Listen, I've been preaching now for almost 30 years. So I can tell you, I've studied this thing again and again. I've observed life. You can't change the world. Solomon said it like this, there is a time for everything. It's God that changes times and seasons and changes the epochs. You can't get up. Look, I told you last time, one of our very celebrated Christian ministers was made minister for power in Nigeria. When he went in, he threatened to cast out demons from the power sector. A few years down the line, when he was leaving office, with all his anointing, he was frustrated. I laughed. You know why I laughed? I wasn't mocking him. But I felt like, okay, I could have told you this from the beginning. But when you say this, it's as if you are telling them that nothing will ever change. I didn't say nothing will ever change. No, that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. Can you see what I'm saying? It's not the same thing. I say, you cannot go out and determine to change it. You will meet frustration in such a manner that you'll be shocked. Shouldn't we try? I'll tell you what God said you should do. That's where I'm going. Number one, as a Christian, pray. What did I say? Pray. Now, did I say that man should not have tried? No, I didn't say so. But he should not have been disappointed. He should not have been frustrated. See, you are dealing with a place where the average person does not, he lies to you that he wants things to work. He doesn't. The average man on the street in this our nation is not angry about corruption. He's only angry that he's not participating. The other day, we're doing an election in Nigeria. Now, please, this is not criticism of any political party or anybody. I just want us to see the truth. We had three major political parties that went in, all right? I said something to some people, they were angry with me. Because I said, see all these people? They're all the same. I said, in Enugu here, almost everybody in Labour Party left from PDP, you know. And after the election, where did they go back? They went back to PDP. See, boss. This man, this is our boss. He was even making, it's even up guy, he joined. He was rooting for, it was not up guy, your guys. Yes, in Enugu.
He was rooting for Abga. I was laughing at him. Then one day he went to the office. He went to work. He went to see his boss. He had a contract job. As he went to go to bed, "You want to laugh? I'll give you something to laugh about." So he said, "Good morning, sir." The man said, no time to talk. Enter the car." And he wanted to see the boss. So he jumped into the car. So he said, "Give me a t-shirt." While he was inside the vehicle, this Abgama was given a PDP t-shirt to wear. And then he got to where they were. Before he knew what was happening, they had photographed him with those who came to campaign for PDP. His boss is a PDP chairperson. So he went to say, "Good morning, sir." That was, "Enter the car if you want to talk to me." By the time he came out of the car, he was wearing PDP uniform. I laughed. I said, now you are learning politics. Rotimi Amechi, I don't know if any of you saw the interview. Rotimi Amechi said they wanted to do a coalition, I think, to unseat PDP when APC was coming. So as usual, that Rotimi Amechi, he lets us know what's going on. All the crowd you see, they're almost always hired. So he sent out money to go and hire the crowd for the rally they wanted to organize. They forgot to tell the crowd whose rally it was. The crowd showed up wearing the uniform, Jonathan from President. Do you get my point? They came to unseat Jonathan, organize the rally, paid the people, and forgot to tell them whose rally it was. So they showed up for the rally. Massive number of people. Jonathan for President. Can you see that? That's why I laugh. So when I see Christians do this election, I told them that when this last election, I said, "This is what you are all campaigning for." I'm not saying you shouldn't do, but don't come and deceive yourself. That you vote for this party in this country, things will be different. I said, they are all the same people. And we have seen it. Now, all of them, where have they come to now? The same party that they said, if we don't remove from power, we will die by fire. One by one, they are decamping. One by one. And I'm laughing. You know, they say, you'll be laughing at people. See? It's like, I told you, you didn't believe me. One by one. Even Atiku's running mate. The number one opposition person. His vice presidential candidate is now in APC. Some of you are shocked. I told them that time. I said, "What is wrong with you people? So you can't see that all these men are the same?" Now, please, I'm going somewhere with this whole talk. So that's why it is impossible for you to get out to suddenly change things that have to do with all these people. Bang, Pastor Bang, you don't have faith. Jesus didn't have faith too. If you want to talk like that, he went to his hometown. He could do nothing. He couldn't do anything. The Bible says he went to his hometown and could do no mighty work. He said to the people, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills her prophets." He said, "How I wished I could gather you like a chick, like a hen gathers her chicks. But what did he say? You will have none of it." So what they will have mattered. What they will accept mattered. He said, "Now I say to you, your house will be left to you desolate until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Let me just drop another aside within the other aside. All right? Within the aside. That's why you preach the gospel. Only the gospel can change people. That's it. Until the people are changed, you can't change them. One day I was like, where is he? Our brother, Bishop, I said, "You see, sir, until we change the system, I said, "Bishop, the system is made of people. Human beings are the system. Okay, go and change the people." And that, you know, the aside I told you I'm giving you within the aside, go and learn to preach the gospel. Make sure let me explain. I am not trying to, people say, they went abroad. I don't know how they did abroad. I don't want to talk about their own sociology. All right? I want to talk about the reality. There's a reason why all African countries look about. See, you know the way you complain about Nigeria, eh? All right? Now, this is not a matter of pride. This is a matter of fact. Sub-Saharan Africa especially,
is still the best black African country to live in. It's still one of the most prosperous. See, let's take, okay, what about South Africa? South Africa was not built by the black people. And the black people are pushing it down to being a black country now. You can argue from that to tomorrow, there's a reason for it. There's a reason. So, complain about this, complain about this, you want to say, better be thankful. And I believe, again, aside within aside within aside, all right? I believe that this nation has a destiny. It must manifest the blessing that God kept in Christ for the black nations on this earth to see. And it's already starting. Yeah. Oh, there was a time where the recipient of gospel, now we're the exporters of the gospel. It's very important. It's not a small thing. Please, let me beg you again. Preach the gospel. Spend your money on it. You know why I'm saying so? You look at Nigeria right now. It's a divine destiny thing. There's something about it. If you check it, I've mentioned the gospel. Nations export the gospel. The other thing they export, shortly after that, as part of that, they export their influence. Is that okay? And nothing exports your influence as much as the arts. Yes, your music, your drama, your movies, that's it. So you know, they are jamming Nigerian music now all over the world. It's part of the spirit that's exporting something from here. It is. Now, why does it please preach the gospel? It is important you preach the gospel so that the people, as a rule in the nation, they have something good to export. And I have a feeling. Whether you intend or not, if you export nonsense from where God is trying to export good, he will push that nonsense into your home, into your system, and judge you for it. He will make you an example. He will. There's one of our prominent Nigerian musicians. I heard some things about him the other time, and I felt sorry. I wish he would come, could listen to me. I'll say, come, sit down. Do you want to be delivered from your troubles? He says, yes. I said, relocate to Enugu. I don't want your money. I don't want your offering. Don't give me a dime. Sit down here 3 times a week while we preach the word. Give your life to Christ. Let's renew you with the preaching of the word of God for a year. Your career will resume again. Your life will balance out. If you are still, see, you are still glorifying, you know, sexual immorality, nonsense, and you are exporting it. God is looking at you, say, round off all that evil. Push it in his life. It's a judgment. If you want deliverance, that's the one I have to offer. You come and say, let me pray for you. Hey, kabayado, hototototo. There's no to, nothing. Believe the gospel. Go and meet Okemute. Let him baptize you for us. Then come back here, sit down here. I want to see you 3 times a week. So this morning we are teaching, be there. Jesus, we are praying and learning about praying, be there. When we come to interact and just read scriptures and, you know, discuss on Fridays, come. Don't enter one studio. If we tell you to come and lead us in song, don't agree. Just 1 year like that. Then go back home, write lyrics again, and go to the studio. Let God use it to export a good culture. Tell them, say, you know, the other time, I told all those who have been advertised, they are stopping one by one now. I thank God. There's one of our prominent guys, the one that was, he started as a Christian, you know, comedian. Then he went all the way. I said, listen, please get me, all right? I don't like to call myself a prophet because I don't think I am, but I speak the word of the Lord. Is that okay? I said, if you advertise betting on your platform or any of your platforms and you encourage people to do bet, 1Y bet, you know, 2G bet, you know, 2X bet, whatever you call yourself, and you tell young men and women to go there, God says that spirit of chance, which never favors anybody anyway, will be brought into your life, into your business, into your career. And there's no deliverance from it. There's none. You know, there are times where I would say this sin cannot be atoned for by sacrifice or by offerings. The only way, of course, the only deliverance, so to speak, is you will go back and publicly apologize for misleading people. After all, you did not make your own success through chance. You were diligent. You woke up early. You did your work. See, I've been telling people, all these people that come and promote immediately, right now, God will tell the person, God, even if God will do it right now, I don't want. It's all healing will take. Do you get my point? Healing is the only one. Go and check your Bible. That's the one. Prosperity right now, it doesn't do it for anybody. In the wilderness, he gave them sustenance, you know? Sustain. You want to prosper? You say, hey, the time is coming. You will plant. You will harvest. That's how I give you abundance. God can solve crisis. I'm not saying he can't. But if he wants warm abundance, no. He wants process. He wants you to grow. So don't, you know, if you win a bet, remember when MMM came and they had these guiders? Do you remember them? I watched them. They had them guiders. I remember one particular, one of the most famous guiders in Nigeria, forgotten his name. He married a wife. The wrong time to marry a wife is when you are making money from MMM. And if you're a woman, don't let anybody marry you at such times. MMM marriage, thank you. Your own is MMMM. Matrimonial MMM. Your whole life will be a Ponzi scheme. The guy bought a brand new, was it Hyundai or Kia SUV? It was on social media, it fly all over the world. One day I decided to go and look for him. He had vanished. You don't know why I do my things. I went, looked, I got the name, I typed into Google, couldn't find that name anyway. Google said, I don't know where he is. I know his poverty has returned. You know, money has a spirit of its own. Money is a living thing. Money is a god. You know, it's a god. G-O-D. Small g. It's a god. You just wake up. Say, boy, how are you? You say, I'm fine, sir. Say, get up. Why are you still sleeping? No, I'm talking about the money, how he talks to people. Say, why are you still sleeping? Say, let me rest. Well, you can't rest. You have too much money. Say, get up. Go and buy a Bentley. And put it on social media. Put it there. Let them see. You think you're the one. No, it's not you. It's money that's telling you. You know, you just wake up, look at your phone. This phone is not good. So your friend say, what's wrong with it? Did you see the iPhone 16 Pro Max? And the guy like, yes, that's what a man should be using. It's money talking to you. You think you are the one talking. It's not to you. It's money. You just go and enter and invest. He will not lie to you that you can do it. Money is a motivational speaker. So all the money those guys made, money will tell them how to use it until they are now poor. Now, when they were poor, they were just poor. But now they are in debt. Please. You know, I've not lost track. I know where I was. Aside. I hope you're learning some things. Yes. So I was saying, you can't change people. All right? You can't force change. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't force change. You want a nation to change, you have to talk to the people. Number one way, the prime way for changing people, in fact, the only one that works is the gospel. Please beg your friends, beg your neighbors, beg any children, any young person around you, tell them not to experiment with drugs. You know what I'm saying? So, a classmate of mine from America posted something the other day. Scientific study, they've shown that there's almost no way out from drug addiction. American study. They've shown, in fact, they gave it to us. They said, look, they said there are only three ways out. Somebody's hooked on heroin. So one, you lock the person in prison. It's incarceration. Number two, you replace with another drug, hopefully milder, And number three, the person dies from overdose or another disease. That those are the only three ways out of heroin addiction. Either you lock his butt in jail and ensure he can never get access to that drug. Or the last one, just wait for him to die. Then that will end the addiction because dead bodies don't take drugs. You know why it struck me? Yet, we see people every day that Jesus changed. And they're telling you stories. And they're not taking anything now. But actually, they're taking something. Like they say, they are getting high on the most high. That's it. They're taking something. That's what they're taking. I just feel like dropping that. Because it's God. I remember Kayo De Pella. He told us how this heroin, he said he sold his house. Not only, he sold the houses. The one he was living in, he offered it for sale. Nobody agreed to buy because he couldn't produce the documents. They were willing to buy. Now, I don't know the naira of that time. Now, it's been a while. The story I'm telling you is over 30 years ago. But let's just use today's naira. Maybe a house worth 200 million. He would have given anybody for 20 million. Which he will finish on drugs in a few weeks. They brought money to buy. Oh yeah, where document? He told him to go to his neighbors to go and ask whether it's his house. He said, that's not how houses are sold. That is not how houses are sold. We know it's your house, but we need something to take away. Those guys walked away and they didn't buy the house. Now, that's not the painful part. He now started stripping the house by hand. He said he literally will remove roofing sheet to go and sell in the scrap market. That's how bad it was. He will remove roofing sheet to go and sell in the scrap market. He will remove a door to sell the wood. He was stripping the house. That's how bad the drug addiction was. He learned how to beg in Lagos, where he was a big man. He said, look, if you want to make money begging, leave these guys alone. They don't give. He said, go to a woman, especially if she's carrying a baby. End your story with a prayer for the baby. He said, they'll release. Women, they are very nice people. Thank God for the life of women. Men reason too much. A man like you, why are you not working? Start speaking English. He said that he learned to beg. Now, let me end the story quickly so I can get into the main thing I'm saying. Do you know? How did God rescue him? He needed to defraud somebody else of money, his mother. So when I told his mother that he was sick. Because they knew nobody gave him money for anything. Told his mother he's sick. And he had a hernia. So he showed the mother the hernia. That they need to operate it. So the mother said, okay, let me take it to hospital. Took him to hospital and said, we'll go to Shagam. And I explained to the mother, you see, he will not be able to go through the surgery and recover if he doesn't have his drugs. So the mother estimated how many days they will be in hospital, like 2 weeks. So she went to the drug market, bought heroin that will last for 2 weeks, and wrapped it and put it in her bag and told him, let's go. According to him, I followed the drugs to Shagam. He said, look, I wasn't sick. He said, which hernia? He said, I had three wives. What are you talking about hernia? He said, the hernia was not an issue. Yeah, that's what he said. I'm telling you how he was in church. He came to our church, he was preaching. He said it wasn't bothering him. It was what we call the reducible hernia. He pumps it, you push it back inside. It was not an issue. He said, I followed the drugs to Shagam. It wasn't the treatment. It wasn't his mother. It was the drug he was following. Why is the story? The doctor that operated happened to be a Christian. That's what I'm telling the story. And that one saw what was going on. And decided to minister the gospel to this young man. That was his deliverance. He believed the gospel. He was delivered from addiction to heroin. When he came to our church, Of course, he was preaching. He was already a preacher. And that he was running a rehab center for people in Lagos. You know, Americans are doing study. People cannot leave. He left. God pulled him out. For those of you who remember, if you are old enough, I'm looking for those who might know, Professor Pella was a celebrated magician in Nigeria. That was his son. What I'm talking about is that only Jesus changes people. See, the reason why we preach the gospel, let me tell you the truth there. I thank God. God sends us resources. He sends us a lot of money. I thank God for the people he's using. I thank God for the lives of all those God uses to contribute to the work we do in Kingdom World. But my brethren, I said one day, we had some issues with the banking issues and all of that. So that was the first time that our tall reverend, our brother Yinka, said, okay, let's do something. So we can move the money. We're owing a lot of radio station debt. Not because we didn't have money. It was a banking issue, all right? There was a banking issue that time. So I said, okay, total of the people that are due to be paid. That's a better way to put it. So he wrote in, I said, just total it. He wrote the whole thing down. He told his son, help me total it. Now, this was a few months ago. That boy is in university now. So it's not like if he told a GS2 boy to do arithmetic for him. It was a big boy. The guy totaled and gave to his father. So Reverend looked at it and said, go and do it again. It can't be correct. So the boy looked like, me that did further maths. My father is accusing me of not being able to do ordinary arithmetic, plus and minus. So he sat down and did it again. I said, Daddy, this is what it is. The father like, look, I told you young people, be paying attention. Look, use a calculator. It's not a calculator I said you should use. It's a calculator I use, Daddy. But you can't be correct. You know why? When he saw the millions that totaled, he didn't know we paid that amount of money. He said, Oga, I was afraid. I said, like, there's no need to be afraid. This is how we pay. I said, just do a mental calculation. Now, many of them are jacked up their prices. And you have 23 of them to pay. Do the calculation now. He said, he was afraid. Like, what? This is how much more. I said, that is, you know, because you just send me list. This is the time you are taking the bulk and looking at it. Now, you know why I'm talking about that? No, we know. Thank God he gives us money and all of that. We are able to pay them. So why do we do it? That's what I'm talking about. Why do we do it? You want to know the reason? That is the only hope. I believe is the only hope Nigeria has. I believe it. When people who preach the true gospel, not all the glamour and glitz and all of that, true gospel, if they go around, respect it. When you hear they are going to a rural area to go and do a crusade for 1 week, respect it. It is the only hope this continent has. If the gospel fails, there is no other hope. There is no other one. You cannot educate people enough to be transformed. You can't. Now, I know where I began that digression from. Now, I was saying that you're not an advocate. Do you remember that? I said, you're not an advocate. What are you? Witness. So please, don't corrupt your witness. Make sure you are somebody that people will know to go to when they want to know the Lord. When they're sharing money, stolen money, don't take. God makes you hungry deliberately. He knows why I said, stay in that office and be hungry. Your hunger is a testimony. I don't know whether you're getting my point. A lot of Christians don't understand that. Being there, you know, sometimes we go like, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a hand on the tail. It can't be to me like it is to the common man. I shall shine like light. You're talking about money, Abby? All of this is because of money. You want to buy a new car, you want to get a decent phone. And listen, these things are good. But you know one thing God said to Israel at the time? He said, I made you hungry. Before I fed you with manna. So God makes people hungry. Don't believe any gospel that makes it look like God only serves ice cream for dessert. And, you know, that's after I've eaten fried rice and chicken. And no, there are times God will say, hey, Dami, how are you? Say, I'm fine. Say, no food for your family this morning. There's no I beg. You're not getting his point. If you say I beg, then you're not getting his point. He just says it. And if you understand him, you say, thank you, Lord. Because if I eat that day, I will enter my destiny. He just says it. Come on. None of you should not get anything. What if you stay there? You know why? It's called the Job principle. God also needs a bragging right. You don't know he does? He had to look at Job. Satan was accusing Job and accusing God. That God, you don't have people. Nobody loves you. There's nobody that you can count on. See, all of them, they are following you only for what you give. God said, Job doesn't. He said, let's test him now. God said, all right, go ahead. Let us assume, now, this will not have happened. God has too much sense for that, all right? But let us assume for a moment, Job failed that test. What would God have said? What would Satan have said to God? He just like this. You've been in those situations before. You want somebody about something. When it finishes happening, you say what? You just do your hand like this. So imagine that Job had failed. Satan would have come to God and said, I told you, you don't have people. The day somebody expounds that story of Job to me, I can't forget it today. He said, the story of Job was placed in the Bible to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. I still have the tape. Yeah. And I know that he came with that message for me. I told my wife, this guy came to preach to me. I have my wife, my husband, is. I said, wait now. I went and played the tape for her again. I said, listen. As he began to preach, he turned to me and said, the ways of the Lord are wonderful, Pastor Banky. That's how he addressed me. I told my wife, she didn't notice. I said, he came to preach to me now. That's the only day in my life somebody was preaching and I wept throughout. Beginning to the end. The top of my shirt was soaked. Here. I saw him maybe like 15 years later. As a man of God, I owe you. Let me have your account number. I sent him an offering. Maybe 15 years later, he came to Enugu, met somewhere. He didn't know why I was so happy to see him. I hugged him. I said, look, I owe you. You won't know why. You preached a message so and so time. Didn't know why. I said, please, sir, can I have your account number? I need to bless you for that message. So God needs people that he can bring. So sometimes we'll go, there are times God say, see, relax. See, this car, I ain't giving you. This phone, I'm not giving you. And that office, you are not leaving. Lord, sometimes they owe salaries. I know. There are days I go to work, I've hardly eaten. God say, I'm aware. So stay there. Many reasons. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons is this. He says, you have to understand that this is your country. Everybody uses the situation as an excuse for iniquity. If I bless you the way you are asking, and I place in the midst of them, they will say, you don't understand. You can go there and say, it's not happening to me the way it's happening to everybody else. We live in certain realms where we are above only and not beneath. God said, I can keep you there. It's not hard for me. Then these other people, where would they see light? Like, what would be their guiding light? They will follow you only for what they can eat. And these people that follow righteousness, it's in the scriptures, for you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. God says, so you have to understand, the only time you demonstrate what you love and what you hate is when you're hungry. That's all this one we are doing. This is we don't preach against sin and all of that. That's why the churches are full. Let's go back to the time when we hammered against sin and threatened hellfire every day. Whatever that we can command this number. And we now say that because you preach the love of God, nonsense. People don't care. You preach a God to them that's not severe. When the Bible says you have to behold both the kindness and the severity of God, both of them must be there. You don't preach the severity of God. People are following you and you think you have a church you don't have. Preach the severity. Take a course on it for 6 weeks. Let's see how many people could return to your church. Every time you are going, you are a motivational speaker. And you think the church ministry is growing. And then you are not dependent on the numbers. Anytime the number attendance goes down, you go and check what did I preach. And so you won't preach that thing again. Yeah, it's true. People do it. Pastors calibrate what they are preaching by the offering. Yeah, they do. Preach a good message so that the offering will be plenty. And of course, you know how to... In fact, Kedegi used to say something. He used to do something. I mean, he told us that one of the things he used to do, anytime he wants to preach about money, he takes the offering first. Because he doesn't want anybody to be moved and give offering that's not blessed. This thing that we pastors do, anytime we want to raise money, you can't bring somebody that will come and you know, promise around. People now give. Most of them, they are not blessed. They are not blessed. They are not blessed. You see all this, you whip them. They are not blessed. You see, if you have an anointing to raise money, I keep on saying it. Go there, preach. Jesus is coming a second time. Let me see the offering. Yeah. If you say, I have anointing to raise money. How you know you have the anointing? Is don't talk about money. Let me see the offering. If your unction cannot move the people without you demanding from them, doubt that you're anointing. Doubt it. I'm not saying it's not there, but seriously doubt it. Say to God, prove it. Prove me. Then go there and say, gee, small. No, an illustration. When the Lord started talking and Hagin to be teaching, instead of making all the noise he used to make, because he used to make a lot of noise. All right. He thought he was preaching. The day I heard one message, he was so proud of that message. That's Brother Hagin. All right. That one I preached, I loved preaching. I heard the message in my mind. Thank God, God sent you away from this thing to the other one. Didn't get anything out of it. The one he did not like was where God packed anointing. Now, where I'm going is that he said the first day the Holy Spirit pressed him to test it. He said to God, it will not work. The people don't want teachers. They want people that will not move. He had been doing it for days. Nobody gave their life to Christ. It was the church that invited him. So that he went and preached a message titled, Doubt, the Thief of God's Greater Blessing. He said, I made it very, very dry. He said, I made it as dry as I could. I made it as slow as I could. I just wanted to prove to the Lord it will not work. After preaching for maybe a whole week, nobody gave their life to Christ. At the end of the day, he now made one very dry altar call, not having preached on salvation. To his shock, hands were rising all over the place to commit their lives to Christ. That was what Paul meant when he said, it is not the excellency of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that, again, that's just for preachers. So why does God treat us the way he does? Sometimes, you know, God wants to just know who is stay. There are times that God is looking, now this is a very dangerous one, looking for the last man standing. There are times that's what he's looking for. I will squeeze them. I will grade them by who drops first or where they drop. Look, the only way to win that battle, do you get my point? Let me tell you, the only way to win such contests before the Lord is to die before you come. Do you get my point? He said, Lord, let's start. We want to follow you, even if we die following you. So we came dead. So don't threaten us with death, oh dear Lord. Don't threaten us with death. So when he brings hunger, when he brings cold, when he brings test. Mm-hmm. You don't have this one. Definitely, death is coming. So please give me 5 minutes. Let me dig a decent grave for myself. God will say, okay. All right, good. That one is correct. That's the only way. That's the only way. If you are trying for, what can I endure? Say, Lord, I can't endure anything. I have already died. That is why, you know, I know why I started that. I said, please, do not change yourself for anything in the office. Suffer. Do you get my point? Yes. What did I say? Suffer. And don't complain. You know why? That is how God makes somebody a witness. That's how God makes witnesses. See, there are some people in your office, one day they will have trouble. You see, let me tell you something. Troubles will come. It comes to everybody. And people, when they have trouble, they are looking for where the answer is. So God said, just be positioned for that day of trouble. That's the thing. See, the person who's persecuting you now has noted you. He will come back one day. She will come back one day. See, and this is the way God does it. See, that Nicodemus spirit is out there. It's night. He will knock on the door. You are looking. Good evening, sir. Any problem, sir? Just let me check on you and your family. Of course, you know it's a lie. I mean, on a Saturday, we're not in the office. You had been transferred from your department some time ago because I wouldn't cooperate. You didn't like me. I used to greet, didn't used to answer. Then you are checking on my family at 7:30 on a Saturday. Of course, I'll let you come in. Get him water. Get him a drink. And be waiting. Because it is coming. This country, Next thing, after when you have seen that, maybe your children have now gone. Hey, please, I know you'll be surprised. Oh, God, I'm surprised to see you. I know you'll be surprised. This is a problem I'm having. See, it's starting you problems. So the first thing comes to your mind, why come to me? You know the truth? You are the only real pastor he knows. He knows the pastor of his church. He silenced that one with offering. I've heard people say it before. Pastor will hear, pastor will be angry. It looks like, why will pastor be angry? When I'm going to see him, I go with an envelope now. And the person saying it is a sin now. It's a sin. You are talking about. You are threatening him. I will report you to your pastor. And he's laughing. Once, I had a story of one year, I wasn't there, it was told to me. A married man in a church was telling a young woman, I'm traveling now. Won't you escort me? The girl is like, Oga, stop this thing now. Yes. I'm going to Abuja for 3 days. I just need somebody to go with me. Church elder. So when he wouldn't stop, the guy now threatened, I will report it to our pastor. And the guy laughed. He laughed. Brethren, he laughed. I bet don't threaten me, Joe. Report me to who? See, I'll go and see him. I'll just take an envelope with me. If such a person has problems, you think that's where he will go? One young woman came to see me long ago. This is not now. I mean, story very long ago. This is my early days in Enugu. Said, trouble here. Say, God, who do I talk to? And you know what came to her mind? That your lecturer, go and talk to him. She's not even, I was a preacher. She did not know I was a preacher. It's just the way I sounded in class. So one day I traveled. When I came back, my wife and I said, some people came to see you. Later, when I just left a message. When I saw her later, Hello. Not somebody you knew. I didn't know at all. Okay, just that you know the face you have seen in class. Okay. So I now give her an appointment. So she, that, you know, the talk is long. That's okay. First Saturdays, I normally, working door used to be. I said, I'm early in so-and-so place on Saturday. So if you can come around so-and-so time, then we'll have time to talk. So she came. Now, after some time, I said, please, I have to start. We talked. Talked for long, gave her counsel, prayed with her and everything. Then, and I said, please, I have to end. I have a meeting that's starting. I have to go and start getting ready. She now said, is the meeting open to everybody? I said, no, of course. It's not a hidden thing. So she waited behind. They came from that day. Hey, staunch follower of King Norwood. Didn't know I was a preacher. It was because I said, please, you have to go now. I have to go and prepare for a Bible class that I teach. Did not know I was a preacher until that day. So people, trouble will come. You see, God has positioned us in different places. Don't corrupt your testimony. They won't come. See, one guy, one day they invited somebody to church, an Indian woman, a foreigner. Somebody said, follow me to our church now. So she went there and came and started laughing. You know why she was laughing? The pastor had been chasing her. Yeah. He said, is that your pastor? She was laughing. This is my boyfriend, in quotes. The guy that won't let me rest. She came to church and saw him preaching. Some church here. So I know what I'm saying when I say, don't corrupt what? Your testimony. Don't. It's not for you. It's not for you. Remember we're talking about changing the world? You can't change the world, but you can change yourself. Then you can shine as light. You can refuse to compromise. Then you can teach individuals around you. If God gives you an opportunity like he has given some of us, you can teach many people. Are you getting my point? That's all you can do. You can't force change. You can't. You see, you cannot force change. You can't force it. Some people think that if I'm the one in government, we run a democracy. You know the meaning of democracy? A lot of crazy people are there. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's the meaning of democracy. According to Anikula Gofela, he said it's a demonstration of grace. Demonstration of madness. You enter into office and everybody is a sinner. You think it's easy? What you can do, see, people say, Daniel, see, you don't get it. What you can do is whatever is within your control, whatever is within your power, do it. As God gives you, if you are the boss, then all those who are under you, they know what? They can't steal, they can't cheat, they can't do this, they can't. But that they will not conspire and have you removed, forget that thing. They do it all the time. Sometimes we think because of Daniel's righteousness. At the end of the day, did you notice that they had to go and bring it from where they retired him into? When there was a time for many tekel. With all his righteousness, they had retired the man to a particular place. Know why? Because Babylon is Babylon. Do your righteousness, no matter how much you do it. The truth that one day, if the people are still unrighteous, one day they will move you. And God will, of course, there's nothing they can do without God's approval. God will approve. Because they will keep petitioning, we don't want holiness. When they harass heaven enough about we don't want holiness, God will say, okay, my holy man, please, you step aside. I'm explaining to you there's no other hope apart from preaching this gospel. That's why that thing we said we wanted to do. You understand my point? That's PhD matter. That's the issue. But that's the only way. Because just look at young people. There's no... One day some ladies were in my house. They were talking. Two of them with my wife. They were talking. But this is what these young girls are doing. My wife was like, what are people talking about? Why would they not do what they are doing if there's no gospel being preached to them? They went silent. Because she was embarrassed, like, you are talking as if they are supposed to have sense. And get it from where? Just walking on the road. Phew, sense just hit me. That's why they have a church. That's the job of the pastors. A pastor's job is not to run an organization. There's a mistake we make these days. No, let me just drop it for those who want to learn it. A pastor, biblical use of the word, is not the head of a church. Read your Bible. How many ministry offices did it? How many ministry gifts? We mentioned five. But read it properly. I said there are four. He said it's clear. He gave some as apostles. Go and read your Bible. Some as prophets, some as teachers, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. He combined it. You think he didn't know what he was saying? He knew what he was saying. We are the one that divided. I've seen people say, I've seen pastors who are not good teachers. I've seen teachers who are not good pastors. I said, that doesn't, it just means they are not doing their work well. And why you keep talking like that is that you think the job of a pastor is administration. It is not. His job is to what? Feed. Where I'm going. So when somebody has a pastor, it's who is feeding you with the word of God? So pastors, if you're in a church, that's where I'm going. You are not, it's not your job to check which decoration to use. Look, sometimes I look at kingdom where I say, this will not get prosperity, you know, that kind of thing. So I know, I'm not saying there's no money, but like, there are others who can do financially what we can do. If you see what they will do with it. Oh, this one. This is not even too powerful. I've been to churches before that cold will catch you. Nothing wrong with you. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. Everything is. Ask the waiting pastor to preach that Sunday. Waiting pastor to preach. Where is the? Give me the recording. They're like, I said, excuse me. You're doing because you don't understand the job of a pastor is not what you guys are doing. The job of a pastor is the instructions he gives people in righteousness. That's the job. So if you're a pastor, listen. This one that you are going for, checking how to dress, how to arrange clothing, and how to, that's not your job. See, let me tell you, no matter how well you dress or you don't dress. Let me go back to, do you know what I used to wear suits before. Do you know that? And I'm coming home with my sharp suit, my tie, dress well. Come on. Start preaching the gospel. Go to our set of messages. How can you identify the one in which I wore suit and the one I did not? There's no way. Is there any way of knowing? The young pastor was preaching this on that day. My God, if you check out the suit that day, my God, that suit was Italian. I mean, it's $1,000 suit. Wow, yeah, come on. If you can pick one like that, I give you 10 million. Can you? It's not possible. It's not relevant. It's not relevant. We put emphasis on things that don't matter. People will change church because of the kind of musical sound. When you hear the music, it comes, is your life changed? No. There was a church I went to those days. They said, if you get to that church, my God. You see, I entered the same praise they're talking about. I entered the place. When they are doing praise, you know what I want to do? Sit down. I'm sorry, I couldn't feel any praise in it. There's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of jamboree. Bam. Good quality music. I said, this is the praise they talk about. This is not praise. This is happiness. It's a place I went one day, I saw the guy. He said the guy should come and sing. I said, this guy is a club man. Yeah, no, it's obvious. Look, it's obvious. The guy is a club person. It's one I told you that they gave him a microphone to test the microphone. One, two, choo, choo. I said, this guy, it's club. It's not a church people. What did they say? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how we test mic in church. We don't do one, two, choo, choo, choo. I said, this is not a club. So if you are a pastor, that's the point I'm making. Don't lay emphasis on things that, like Pastor Okemute will preach. Emphasize what God emphasized. The only way people can be changed is by the words we are preaching to them. That day when those women were talking to my wife, and my wife was looking at them, like, what are you? You people cannot be serious. How do you expect the young women to change? Who's preaching the word to them? They just walk on their own and have sense in their head? No. Somebody has to do what? Preach the word to them. Somebody has to teach them the gospel. And I'm saying to us, see, one of my friends, he lives in the U.S., very good friend of mine. I mean, when you call somebody a friend, that guy's a real friend, you know? He's a friend, all right? But we have some different opinions in some things. Right? Of course, a believer, solid believer. We have some different opinions in some things. So one day I explained some things to him about Nigeria. He said, Banky, from what you are saying, there's no hope. I said, oh God, did you think there was hope? He said, what? Coming from me, he was shocked. I said, of course, there is no hope. I said, why do you... Now, that's where I'm going. I said, why do you think I preach the gospel? What I mean, there's no hope, is that because we're talking about politicians, we're talking about government, we're talking about the populace. I said, there is no hope. The only hope is the gospel. See, let me give it to you now. If you see the gospel is not advancing in any Africa, let me talk about African nation and the European nation too. Right? So it's not just African, but let me focus on African nation. If it's not advancing, there is no hope. One of our brothers, this last meeting I went to, he came from Rwanda. And I said, oh, boy, let's go and see Paul Kagame now. We need to preach now. I said, look, Paul Kagame, you understand. Now, he works for them in Rwanda there, all right? One of my brothers, he preached out the word too. I said, all these things he's doing, he has developed Kigali. So he get to Kigali. Ah, no, my brother testified that it's a beautiful place. How then he has tried to spread to some other towns. Of course, the rural areas and all that like that. But they are doing good things, you understand? They are trying to build the country and all of that. I said, tell Paul Kagame. So all of these things he's doing. Fact, we come to nothing. If the people are not transformed. You think Nigeria has strife? See, I've told you, just be thanking God for Nigeria. God has blessed Nigeria so much, and we have a duty to export this blessing. We do. First, through our gospel that we spread out, and the culture we spread out behind it. Are you getting my point? Yeah, we do. If you're talking about strife, go and check the war in Congo. Go and Google who's sponsoring it. Go and just write M23 and Congo. Put it on Google. Let it give you information. There's war in neighboring countries to Rwanda. There are people that Paul Kagame does not want to return years after that crisis. I said, see, all this fight you are fighting, Paul Kagame, you will not live forever. He is a very strong man, very strong. He's been in power now for over 20-something years. And he's not planning to leave. He's a very strong man, but that everything... Now, I don't mean any criticism. I hope you watch this, all right, so that you get my point. Everything will come to what?
Nothing.
It's a matter of time. If you don't give people the real thing, which is the spirit of life, the spirit of life, the spirit of life, which comes by the gospel. See, he's trying to do something. And I feel sorry for him in that area. But I told my friend, I said, look, let me come and visit. Let's see your president. Let me tell him some things. I'm not saying it's that easy. It's not that powerful. Are you getting my point? I said, okay, see, if he says, what do you want? I want to preach in your country. I don't want plenty things. I will pay. Give me radio space. 10 minutes every day, year in, year out. Let's introduce Jesus to your people. Let's introduce your people to Jesus Christ. Let them drink of this. All this much fight you are fighting, we end. Development will come. Progress will come. There is no... See, why we preach the gospel is that it's not a lie. That there is no other hope. I see people running up and down. A friend of mine told me something once, and I laughed. He said, Banky, one day I thought of how to keep money, because God has blessed him. So he's getting the money, you know, plenty. And doesn't have a lot of personal responsibilities. You know, there are people that on this side, you know, whole farm. In fact, you know, the other day, was it your mother and I that were talking, you know? Your father has like six families. That his own, apart from the one God gave him directly. We're talking about it. My father-in-law was like that, you know, when you have 39 younger ones. Do you follow my point? No, he's alive and well, but I'm talking about the responsibility he carried. There are people like that. My friend is not like that. He doesn't have those kind of load. But the money keeps coming, plenty. So he said to me, then I said, how do I keep it? Now, you see where I'm going? See, I thought about Naira. I said, no, Naira loses value too much. So maybe I should keep money in dollars. So they realized that this thing was happening. There was a time dollar had a shake. He said he was there calculating how to keep money. He said, Banky, I did not realize it. I was sweating. He was in his house, air conditioned. He said, I was sweating. As I laughing at him. You know, there are things you experience. You now know why it's good you hate Jesus Christ. It has never crossed my mind how to keep money. It's how to spend it. It's what am I supposed to do with it? How to keep it? No. I don't want to learn it. You know, there are legitimate methods for building wealth which I have identified. I said, Banky, please don't go there. Any money God gives you, spend it. Now, I'm not saying building wealth is bad, but this man, this one, this guy you're looking at, this fellow, this one that's pointing at himself in front of you, me, I'm forbidden. Anything I do has to be for function. There must be a purpose supposed to achieve now. Oh, yes. You know, and I'm happy. I'm happy I learned. You know why? God said, don't lay up treasure on the earth. Moth destroys, and thieves break in and steal. See, the Lord has given that commandment. There's no way of turning the hand back. There's no way. So, I don't worry my head. I said this in many years ago. I'm not poorer today because of that. See, if anybody has, if people have said that, you know, Pastor Bank talks like this. I say, look, listen. I talk like this because I believe the scriptures. I talk like this because I believe what Jesus is saying. I talk like this because, you see, when you follow what the Lord is saying, that's where real life is. I was talking about Paul Kagame. If the people get to know the gospel, all this you are trying to lay up and pack up and prepare for, it will not be necessary. They will keep on coming out from inside the people in each generation. If God gives me a house, gives me money, I would like to dash my children houses. It's good. Amen? But don't worry about it if he doesn't give you. Do you know why? What would you like? Your son is 50. That house we dashed him when he was 30. You know, he's very proud of it. He's living in it. Or, no, I'm not saying it's bad. That's his bad. No. Or he says, wow, very nice house daddy gave me that time. But the one I built is like 3 times that size. So I dashed it out to somebody. Which one do you prefer? The second one. So why kill yourself over the first one? When God will do the second one for him. I don't know whether I get my point. Yeah. What's more important, therefore, is for God to be able to do the second one for him. So I'm more interested, therefore, in doing what? Making sure he has the life of God that makes him what? Productive. That is what's more interesting to me. That's what I would rather pray for. I'd rather get on my knees and pray like Jabez for those children. What I'm trying to say is this. There's something that the life of Christ, when you get to know him, what he does, it removes a lot of worries people worry over. A lot of things people are troubling themselves over. It removes it from your life. It's the reason why I preach the gospel. It is the reason why I preach the gospel. Because I believe what I'm teaching. It is the word of God. See, let me say it to you. There is no hope in this Africa for any nation where the gospel does not advance. Let's get back to the message. Please, let's see whether we can do it today, Abby. I've been trying to do something for some time. No, what do we title our message, which I've been trying to preach? Last time, I got stuck on spirituality. Today, I seem to have gotten stuck on what now? The power of the life that is in Christ, yes. That's what I seem to have gotten stuck on. How did that even start? No, I know. Okay, yeah, Romans 1, that's where it began from. Yes, okay. Now, let's start again. That would be a very good way to start again. So back to that Romans 1. We stop reading somewhere. Yeah, we stop reading somewhere. Where do we stop reading? So let's go back to reading. Thank you. They know the truth about God because he made it obvious to them. Now, listen to this. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yeah, let me just remind us of something I said. Don't corrupt your testimony. Remember that? Yeah, that's why I went there. Yeah, that's why I went to do that. Remember, don't corrupt your testimony. People are going to come to you to learn the truth. Because the questions will come, the problems will come to their lives. Yes, they knew God. Now, verse 21. Yes, they knew God. That is, God was obvious to them. But they wouldn't worship him as God or even give thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. And now, modern day, of what no God is like. Do you understand? Yeah, that is because God here means the origin, the creator. Okay? Our modern day, they say there's nobody there. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. I'm going to stop reading here. You know what we have been looking at? Yeah, let me get back to the message. Yeah, it's very appropriate now. We're talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We explain the fact that there's life in the garden. There's life outside the garden. And what we are living now, as a human race, is life outside the garden. It's not life in the garden. Now, let me just describe what life in the garden is like. Yeah, I think I've gotten to the swing now. In the garden, God supplies. I mentioned it last time, that when Jesus tells you, our Father, when he tells you, your heavenly Father knows, when he uses expressions like, don't worry about tomorrow, he's bringing the life of the garden into your face. Are you getting my point? Please, I need you to understand that. Let me say it again. Worry is necessary for the average person. Worry is necessary for the average person. What did I say? Yes. Why? Paul said, without God and without hope. If you don't have God, you don't have hope, you must worry. Please stop telling unbelievers not to worry. Those days, when I first got married, one thing I told my wife, please stop this thing. She had a way of blessing everybody with scriptures. I said, stop doing it. I know you're a good person. If somebody is not a professing believer, pray for the person. Don't quote scripture. The Lord says about you. No, he didn't say that about them. He didn't. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Except you're in Christ, I shouldn't be giving the children's bread to dogs. It's not allowed. So she learned it. So next time you want to greet somebody, if you are not convinced of the person's personal faith, just pray for the person. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And I never forget to bless, pray for people with the knowledge of God. May the Lord make his face clear to you. May you get to know Christ. It's very important. It's a prayer. But he said, no evil shall befall you. He didn't say so. He did not say so. He said, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you fear no evil. Why won't you fear evil? Ah, do you know evil is dangerous? How do you mislead people? That you step upon serpent. Don't step on that serpent, though. If you step wrongly on that serpent, it's giving you a bite And if it gives you a bite and it's a venomous serpent, you will die. Because the prophecy doesn't cover you if you are not in Christ. What I'm explaining about the life of the garden and life outside the garden. When Jesus will say, don't worry about tomorrow, please, he wasn't talking to everybody. You see, the whole world worried about ozone layer. Global warming. They should worry. They should. Retirement schemes planned for people who are healthy to be planning for when they will not be able to work again is important. Because if you don't plan, who will plan for you? When Jesus said, you, don't worry. He said, your what? No, say, let me hear it. Your what? Your heavenly Father. He is not everybody's heavenly Father. If he was everybody's heavenly Father, why would Jesus give us the right to be called his children? Do you get my point? So, please, let's understand. Now, I'm actually going to the opposite of it. The opposite is where I'm going to. So, if all of us that have believed, all of us that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, honestly, thunder fire English. Like one man was preaching. He said, Abraham had to go to that mount of Moriah. If he had went to the end of that mountain. I said, okay, it's not your fault. Is it Joma and Chizuru? The two of them said that there is first tense, present tense, past tense, and future continuous and past continuous and perfect and all of that. So if you had went to any other mountain, your son was dead, man. The Lord is good. So those of us who have believed, all right, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a heavenly Father. Please, I want this to sink into your mind. Say after me, I have a heavenly Father.
I have a heavenly Father.
Say it again.
I have a heavenly Father.
One more time.
I have a heavenly Father.
Now, not only do you have a heavenly Father, your heavenly Father is God. Now, I need to explain to you what it means to be God. With him, nothing shall be impossible. Everything is possible to him that believes in the God of the impossible. You know why everything is possible to you? Because you can go to a heavenly Father for whom nothing is impossible. See, if a young man is somewhere, he say, I have a father in Enugu, and he calls his father, so he say, we should pay fees, 35,000 naira, and the father said, they have not paid me salary for 6 months. Is he getting 35K? He's not getting now. So he can't brag on I have a father in Enugu. Shouldn't. In the same manner, if your heavenly Father was not this kind of person, the Father is in heaven. Who heaven help? Do you follow my point? But for us, it's different. That's why I need to say the other side. First, you have a Father in heaven. Second, the Father is God. Now, let me just explain what it means when the Bible talks about heaven, just for us to understand. The concept of heaven is not a distant planet. In fact, like I said, physicists, even people like deGrasse Tyson, one day was explaining, if I felt like tapping him through the screen, say, this man, are you seeing how foolish you are? He was explaining four dimensions, trying to explain dimensions. And he explained something. I won't give you the details because it just bore you. But at the end of the day, he explained that if you move into the fourth dimension, there are three dimensions we have now. X, Y, Z, three dimensions. That's what this world we are seeing, three dimensional. But it's a fourth dimension in normal physics, which is time, all right? Space time, okay? But now, if you go into another dimension, now, advanced physicists, they calculate what they call supersymmetry, they go into nine dimensions. Is that okay? Now, he was explaining something, that if you move into a different dimension, to the person who does not see beyond the three dimensions, you disappeared. This was being said by somebody who's an atheist. Please, I won't bore you with details. He drew dots, one dimension. He drew lines, second dimension. Then he drew lines on lines, third dimension. He now used an ant to explain something. That if you move from here and went to this place, the ant will think you disappeared. Now, in the same manner, if anybody moves from our three-dimensional world into another dimension, you know what it will look like? The person disappeared. The Bible will say he moved to what? Heaven, the heavenly realm. But actually, he's still present beside you. I don't know whether you got that point. Yes, it's a bit technical, but I pray you got it. That when the Bible uses the word heaven, it's not about distance. It's about whether you can see or you can't see it. It's whether the wall can stop the person or the wall cannot stop the person. Do you get my point? It's either whether a flood can drown the person, a flood cannot drown the person. It's whether when fire is burning, the fellow will burn or he will not burn. He wasn't describing heaven as being a distant place. He was saying, listen, if you burn the whole place, if he's inside the fire, he will not burn. Do you get my point? Okay, you've seen that before, haven't you? It's in the book of Daniel. So what happened was when they moved them in there, God just took them into another dimension. So they were moving around the fire. The fire was not in their dimension. You get it? So when they say come out of the fire, they step from another dimension back into this dimension. And you say that's why there couldn't be any smell of fire on them. They and the fire never interacted. You get it now? You get it now? So when they say our Father who art in heaven, it's not that he's distant. He's not distant. He's just in a place where he's not affected by what is going on around you. So the price of moimoi went up. Doesn't concern him. He said that dollar is not expensive. They don't spend it there. Do you get my point? So his presence, that's where I'm going, is not altered by what is afflicting you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Someone said, our Father who art in heaven, the concept of heaven is that don't be afraid. Nothing can change him. So it says with him, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father who is in a place where things can never go bad. And from that place, because he has so much power, he can supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. That's the meaning of our Father who art in heaven. Please, don't ever forget it. When he says, our Father who art in heaven, it's a very... See, when you want to pray, ask my children, this is, you know, when people began to learn faith, and we discussed some things, I chant that prayer, ask my children. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thou. I like those exact words of Jesus Christ. It has a meaning. Deep meaning. Last time we talked about the meaning of our Father. It has a deep meaning. It does. Oh my God, I pray we understand it. When it says, our Father who art in heaven, where I'm going is that is the life of the garden. Those without God and therefore without hope in this world, they are outside the garden. And this is the painful part. They are teaching us outside the garden how to live life, even though we are supposed to be living a life of the garden. Anybody who has a father who is in heaven is supposed to live a garden life. So anytime Jesus is teaching, all right, what is he explaining? Live this outside life. Why do people worry? Why do they stack up wealth for tomorrow? Because outside, that is the normal thing to do. Why do I say you should not bother? You have a father who is in heaven. It is, see, you know, people think that being, okay, let me give a very good example. God has blessed me a bit, all right? I have some money to take care of some things, all right? So my children are in school. And in fact, almost all of them, even the one that's the big boy is in a master's program, okay? So let's assume that mommy gives them money. They're just, to make it easy, let's separate it. My wife gives them money. And then somebody now comes to teach them. They have a seminar. How to be sure your school fees will always be paid. 10% of whatever is sent to you from home, have an account for it. Now that account, what you would do is that it yields about 15% per annum. So you will invest it in stocks and bonds. Now, the quickest turnover right now is with cryptocurrency. Bitcoin right now is over $100,000. So if you put it now, it will compound. By the time it's time to pay fees next year, you have more than enough. You know, my children will carry their bag, toss it on their shoulder, and start going. Their friends, are you going somewhere? Say, my fees, my father will pay. And do you understand my point? That, see, all these arrangements you are making, it doesn't affect me. Why? Because normally when it's fees time, I make a call. My father, who is in heaven, will transfer the money. Do you follow my point? So, all the arrangements you are making, the boss are like, So, you're supposed to, what's this for? So you can pay your fees next year. It doesn't concern me. Now, sorry. Answer this way. Is it pride? Are they being proud? This pastor's vision, that's how they are. Eh? They don't like to learn. When you are teaching them something, they will not learn. And the guy like, excuse, I'm not angry with you. Those of you who sit down here, it's okay. But see, this is my third year in the school, okay? I have never had to do anything to pay my fees. Why do you now want to teach me now how to pay the rest of it? Why should I sit down in humility and be learning? So Jesus emphasized to us, your heavenly Father knows what you need, even before you ask. Now, listen to this. What is your method for getting your needs met as a child of God? Let me ask it again for those who didn't get the question well. What is your method for getting your needs met when you have a father in heaven? The heavenly life is an asking life. Yeah, it's an asking life. It's an asking life. Oh, God has so blessed me the last few years. I got to discover that. Now, ask about everything. I ask about everything. If my children come complain about something, all right, we'll talk tomorrow. This night, I have gone to see the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, this is what the problem is. This girl was here just now explaining this. I need to answer by tomorrow morning. Are you getting my point? I don't know about you, but me, I have found... Now, please, maybe I should stop saying this so people won't misunderstand. I have found getting up at night the most efficient. Yeah, it's just for me. When a serious matter is up, I tend to leave it. I just go and sleep. And usually, I will wake up. 1 a.m. Yes, I said, Lord, okay, so we wanted to talk. And I just kneel down there. It's normally not more than 20 minutes. 20 minutes of it, just explaining. The explanation is for me. Because you have to have faith. You build your faith. You're talking. If I start giving you testimonies, God answers prayers. What did I say? See, the life of the Christian. The other day I was teaching in TCC. I said some things while teaching for them. I pray I can remember. I said, there are three things that mark the life of a Christian. I said it is, yeah. One, learning. Two, asking. Three, receiving. I said that's what the Christianity is about. Yeah, I remember now. One, learning. You are becoming as you learn. You add to your faith knowledge. As number two, asking. And number three, receiving. Because there's an art of receiving. Because sometimes you may need to know exactly how God wants. And it doesn't use the same method all the time. Do you get my point? It uses different methods to send. So you are looking this way because last year, it was from this direction he sent your supplies. You may need to turn. This year, he's coming from this direction. That's why I put receiving. But the first two are so critical. Learning and asking. See, you need to learn how to ask the Lord self. A lot of people are asking the Lord for things. You know what they are doing? They are not asking. They are just grumbling. They are just grumbling. I like that testimony, Ken Hagin. You know, I cook Ken Hagin a lot, of course. He was such a tremendous blessing to my life. He said he had this feeling that his wife was going to die early. And I've met people that had that feeling about themselves. and God delivered them. Now, so he believed his wife was going to die early. So one day he had a vision and he said to the Lord, I've always had this feeling that my wife would die. In fact, he said it used to hinder his ministry. Because anytime he wants to operate, like he enters into the spirit, you know, like he was a prophet. He said one of the things that will come to him is that knowledge. So he backs out quickly. Maybe he wants to start operating with the word of knowledge, you know. Word of knowledge starts coming to him, so his spirit is lifted up into the realm in which he can flow in the things of the spirit. Next thing he knows is that feeling comes. So he quickly stops, goes back to teaching. Yeah, it used to scare him. So one day, he had a vision. He talked to the Lord about it. That, Lord, I've always believed that my wife wouldn't live long. And you know what the Lord said to him? It is true. You know, if you were thinking something, you say, the Lord say, don't worry about it. It's not like that. How can you be thinking that kind of thing? No, the Lord didn't say so. The Lord said it is true. He said, Baba, back home. No, that is not good, though. I don't think he thought about it ahead. He just said, but I like her. And he quickly explained to the Lord. She's a very good mother to my children. That we've been doing ministry together for years. Because they married very early. I think it was 21, she was 20 or 19. Or he was 20, she was 18, 19, thereabout. They married quite early. So they had been in ministry together for a long time, maybe over 10 years. He said, look, Lord, I've even trained her in ministry. So we can work together. Our ministry is working well. He said to the Lord, I like her. So the Lord said, so what are you saying? He said, please, I don't want her to die. And the Lord said to him, fine, she will not die. Let me finish it. He said, just because you asked me. There was nothing like her. Every ancestral curse that's holding her down. All the witches, all the Ogbanje who said they went to the bottom of the Atlantic and they rose to the top of the mountains and from there they formed four combinations and they began to speak and they altered bull, the altar bull, offered bull on the altar. I cancel. How can you cancel when you are not part of the signatories? People are canceling things that don't concern them. You don't know. That's what they call ultra-virus. Ask this lawyer there. That's what they call ultra-virus. You cancel what is not your business. My wife and I make an agreement in our house about things that don't concern you. Then you come and cancel it. Are you crazy? They call it meddlesome interloper. Ask her. I'm sorry, Christians pray a lot of rubbish prayers. Damn it. They pray a lot of nonsense. Sometimes, one day I went to church, one woman tapped me. I said, what is it? He said, you have not been praying like everybody else. What is worrying them is not worrying me. What is your mother? What's your problem? I didn't answer her like that, but that's what she said to me. This was long ago. It was Lagos. It was Minas Chapel. I went for school of ministry. So I stood there. So they were leading prayer. People were punching the air and kicking the air. I'm speaking in tongues and everything. So I didn't realize it. My hands were like this. I was praying. As long as I wasn't praying. So the woman had the privilege of sitting beside me that day. The unfortunate privilege, actually. So after everything, she now tapped me. Say, which church do I attend? I'm like, excuse me. We all came for school of ministry. Bishop Oedipo was teaching us the word of God here. What's all of this church? But I was just curious. Say, which church do you attend? Do you come to this church normally? I said, well, no, not regularly, but once in a while. Yeah. Yeah. What is the issue? So she noticed that when everybody is praying, my hands are folded. I felt like, and I remember, I thought, madam, was that a prayer point? No, in my mind, was that a prayer point? I still remembered very well the last prayer point that they took that upset her that didn't answer. Say, you will pray. He said, the Bible says, as the seed was being sown, Satan came and he was stealing the ones. So to say today, Satan will not steal the seed in your heart. Pray. And I look at him, you're not serious. Satan, come. Steal this one. That was my attitude. I remember very well. I said, remember that pastor preached there. I said, Satan, steal what? I felt like telling madam, madam, come, let me tell you. I take 3 buses to get here. Yes. After trekking from Idiaraba to Mushin, I take a bus from Mushin to Oshodi to Yanokwaja to Church Junction. And I walk to church. I said, madam, no Satan that did not ride that bus can steal this one. I rode the bus, not the Satan. The Bible says, give attention and you will gain understanding. The scripture said that the one that heard and did not understand, they were the ones that Satan stole. I looked like I came here to play. Satan, this is not a candidate for stealing. This is not pride. It's not a candidate for stealing. If I didn't pray, if you had led me, pray that you have understanding. My hands will be up. Father God, speak to me. I have come this far. Speak to me. I will take permission from work weeks ahead. To get 3 days of work. Weeks ahead, I'm talking to my boss. I told her, madam, why I'm not punching the air is that there was nothing to punch. What you guys are praying about, I do not consider it a prayer point. I wasn't being arrogant. It actually was not a prayer point. My prayer point is, and you see, where did Paul say that, pray that Satan will not. He said, I pray that God will fill you with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Let's get back to what we're saying. Jesus said to that man, just because you asked. You asked. So I married my wife. What do you think I do for her? I ask. I'll tell the Lord. See, my wife is like, you know, I like her very much. I was telling your dad, which day was I preaching? On Tuesday. Yeah, was it on Tuesday, Abby? Yes. Why are you laughing? I know why you are laughing. I know what you remember. I said, I was talking about offense. Yes. God has helped me with that. I give him the glory. I've not allowed one time. I've married for about 25 years now. I've not allowed one time for offense against my wife. To make me change what I'm requesting from the Lord for her. No. No. I know. I have not. God has helped me with that. You can offend me from now to tomorrow. I will not be an accuser. I will not stop interceding and making requests of the Lord for you. I can get angry with you. I'm not like Dami. He has never been angry with his room. I don't know. The guy is so nice. Only looking nice. That's not me. When I look at my wife, I'm not talking to you. I can get her angry. But I have never, one time, God helping me, change my requests. Allow offense. And I go and say, God, I don't understand this kind of woman. Yeah. It's too powerful. I can't say it to him. You don't understand. When you get to God's judgment through, you be careful. When you come to make requests, be careful. Can I drop something for you that will help you to help people? Eh? Don't go there to make promises. God is not hungry. He doesn't need anything. I know what I'm saying. You got to open your mouth. God, if you don't help me, once I come back, sacrifice for you. God said, no problem. Send his daughter. Say anything that shows up first. Baba, now your own. I've learned I don't do. I've never. Okay, maybe I have. I can't remember. But these days, I don't make God promise anything. I don't know how to promise God anything. How can you be promised somebody that doesn't need anything? Something. Does it need anything? Say, God, let me help you. Lord, your birthday is next century. What do you need? Do you get my point? It's people like yourself. You'll be asking that kind of foolish question. There's only one thing God wants from you. You know what that is? Thank you. And that's the only thing. If I don't even promise it to him, I know he knows I will bring it. If I say it even before I see it. Do you follow my point? That's all he wants. Please, let me just beg you. See, some of these messages you hear, he said, tell God what you will do for him. Tell pastor, I can't. It's an insult. You make it look like he needs to be provoked with self-interest. Say, there's something in it for you, Lord. If you bless me like this, Papa God, if I give you $1 million, you know, go happy. And God is looking like, see me, I'm the one giving you 10 million. Then you give me 1 million, and I should be grateful. Like, you heard the story of the young boy that said, God, if you give me 10 naira, I will give you 1 naira. If you give me 1,000 naira, I will give you 100 naira. And if you give me 1 million, I will give you 100,000. The young man was going on the road. Suddenly found money, and it was 900 naira. Hey, say, God, you're too much. You're already taking your 100. What am I saying? God is saying, listen. If I needed money, I don't have to give you first. I'll give myself. If I'll go to my children, I said, all right, who will give me 99%? Wherever the hand goes up, I give the person $100 million. You give me $99 million, you can keep one. Let's talk. See, I know we don't think about these things. That's why we practice them. Keep that one. I just told that one. When you go to God, don't make any promises. Make your request and go. That's it. I love the way my children do it. And that's how children do. Daddy, you have not sent that money. Sorry, I forgot. Okay. Come in the evening. Daddy, I've not received the allowance for this week now. Okay, sorry. I bring my phone. And when I find out, when it gets the alert, what do I get?
Thank you.
Thank you. If me, as wicked, ask my wife, as wicked as I am, can be this nice. What about the Heavenly Father that doesn't even understand what they call wickedness? There's no shred of wickedness in him. Not a shred. You can be making promises, because you think, me, I don't. I put my knee down and say, God, I beg. The only thing I tell the Lord is that if there's anything that's making me, that if I'm the one stopping the manifestation, let me see where I'm getting it wrong. So you can help me so that I will stop. Repentance must be a watchword for you. Yes, it must be. Every day, see, let me tell you the truth. Every day you must be repenting of something. It may not be every day, literally, every 24 hours. But if you look over your life, last 1 year, you have not repented of anything. You know what it means? You have learned nothing. Knowledge always provokes repentance. Yeah. Knowledge provokes repentance. Please give me time today, because I don't want to push this in. If I say you want to go, where are you going? Please let me finish what I want to preach today. Is that okay? I will know when I'm done. I was saying that, see, as believers, no, I was going to say something. What was I going to say? Yes. I said knowledge always provokes what? Repentance. Knowledge provokes. And that's one thing. You know, I told you, there are three things Christians must have. What are they? You must continually learn. You learn how to ask and how to what? Receive. That receive is very important, because sometimes, many times, people, the way God wants to bless them, they don't like it. Billy Akoni said, God, he's a preacher. He prayed, and God sent him money. But he felt that, no, I can't take money from these people. So he didn't take it. So he went to the road to go and look for motor to go back. There was no money. He went to go and look for somebody who's his friend. That one was not at home. At the end of the day, he was stranded. Police now told him later, I sent you money, you rejected it. He suffered, though. I think like he trekked from here to here. He was looking for people that he knew. God just made sure nobody was at home. Let me not sit on it. First, you learn. You must always learn. You must always learn. Every time you learn, you will change. And what do I mean by change? You will repent of something. You will. You see, and let me tell you something now. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more small things matter. You know, I've seen older people think that because they have been in Christianity for so long, they cannot take it easy. That's not true. That's what happened to that old prophet. He started telling lies because he's been around for so long. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more small things matter. There are things that these young people can do, and God doesn't say anything. When you are older, to the Lord, it now matters more. But you keep learning. Little things. Okay, let me give one of the little things I learned recently. Now, I want to let you know when I say little things. I have a habit. I pick my phone to do something. 5 minutes later, I drop that phone. I've not done what I picked it to do. Do I have a witness who's like that in the house? See all the evil people. Ola Yenka, Sidney. Ah. Jukes, you too. J became, hey, Simon, I'm not surprised. It's all of them, wicked people like me. Do you know what? Personally, the Lord has been cautioning about it. Do you know? Okay, let me tell you the truth. I started praying to the Lord, please don't spoil my phone, because I know one day He will. I said to the Lord, please, I'm sorry. He will keep one. Banky, you're wasting my time, because the time is not yours, it's mine. Like the other, you know, YouTube Shorts. You know, when I'm relaxed, just start scrolling. They call it brain rot. I found out. They gave it a name amongst the younger people. They call it brain rot. So once in a while, I tell myself, no YouTube Shorts for the next 2 weeks. It's the last time you are wasting. You're not learning anything. I do YouTube, but I have channels I follow. I know those who I learn from. I download videos into my app and I watch. Okay? But which is, I said, you just waste a lot of time. Listen, I'll give you another small one. I have a rule. That's a few years ago. I know it was the Lord that taught me. If you're not hungry, don't eat. It's not a sin, but I don't do it. If you're not hungry, don't eat. Then, if we go for a meeting, do you understand? And I say, I have to leave by 2. And I said, the food will come by 2:15. The Lord has made it clear. Banky, you don't wait 15 minutes because of the food. Get out. If you're supposed to leave by 2, 2 o'clock, get up and leave. I am carrying my bag and I'm leaving. I have passed through too many consequences of waiting that 15 extra minutes. No, I'm not waiting. The Lord made it clear to me, don't adjust your schedule because of food. See, can you see, I've had to know God say, Banky, stop chasing women. Which is what you expect is called sin. I've told you. Dear Lord, you know, one time I'm telling you, put up your phone. You know why I put up my own? God has blessed me with very expensive phones. My phones are very, very good. So I always tell the Lord, please, don't spoil this phone. You know, it's costly. The older you get with the Lord, the more serious little things are. Little things, yeah, the more they matter. The more little things matter. Think a man like Moses. Moses had done exploits, done everything. God said, when you get there, you speak to the rock. No striking this time. He did not disobey the Lord deliberately. He lost his temper. He did not disobey the Lord deliberately. He lost his temper. Water come out from the rock. That's what I don't understand. Surely the Lord would have just held the water back and then He would have calmed down and spoken to the rock. So they allowed the water to gush. I said, Moses, for that, you're not going to the promised land. One day I was driving. Sienna commercial vehicle almost hit my car. He broke the traffic light. I obeyed traffic light. So I had to swing rapidly to avoid him from bumping into me. In that process, a keke was coming on that side. And keke rammed into the front of my motor. And I said, Lord, I got the point. I don't know whether you hear what I said. The keke man was like, So he thought he hit me. He didn't know what happened. He thought he hit me like he was at fault. So I came, I told him not to bother. That wasn't his fault. He was relieved. Because my car was still shining more than this that time. You know, like, I don't buy a job today. No, I told the guy not to bother. That is not his fault. That is the other man that beat the traffic light on his side. And then he almost ran into me. I just explained to him not to bother. If I felt responsible for even his own, if there's any damage. But I think there was no damage on his own. But there was a dent on my front fender. It's still there. I didn't repair it. Didn't fix it. I left it there. And I said to the Lord, I get the point. I won't tell you what it was about. I said to the Lord, I get the point. I get the point. It's all right. Fine. And it was like, Banky, wake up. Something like that. You're allowing some angry thoughts stay in your heart. And that small, boom! It's like I woke up and I said, Lord, I get the point. Then I started repenting. And it was offensive. People had gathered, you know, conspired to be offending you, know, that kind of thing. And I was taking offense. And God looking at me, what is wrong with this boy? This kind of thing will never stop in life. And you have actually no right to be offended. Even though you can preach that this is offensive, that is good, people should stop doing it, but you have no right to be offended. And better get used to it. It will not stop happening. Christian life, you continue to learn. And then you learn how to do what? Ask. Brethren, about everything. Don't plan. Ask. Do you follow my point? See, that is a life in the garden. The garden life is a life in which our Father takes charge. The garden life is in, I had an experience, I told you, which month are we in? Yeah, a few months ago, this year, between January and February. It had to do with my children's school. And things went, you know, because we are streaming, so I can't give you all the details. Things went like this, like, what is going on here? Then I got on my knees and I asked, Dear Lord. And the scripture came to my mind, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all that dwell in it. I said, Lord, it applies. This is what I'm asking you for. God had people removed. By the following week, I told you the testimony. They were removing people. Instead of sitting down here, how do you plan your retirement? Sit down. See, I've told you, when they tell you, when you are old, this will happen to you. Go to your clothes and say, Lord, I don't want it to happen to me. Why? I don't like it. Tell them, I don't like it. Say to the Lord, I don't like it. That's all. You see, you don't have to have any deep spiritual reasoning. You know, dear Lord, you know, the glory of thy name. This English is where your problem is. If you really feel it's for the glory of his name, say it. But if it is not, and really is like, no, I tell you, I've learned to pray some prayer in which I say, God, I know you are thinking, do I need this? I also don't think I do, but I like it. And since you have money, can I have it? We're not fighting over it. It's not everything my children asked me for. Yesterday, my daughter was reading in front of me. Just raised her. I said, I want ice cream. I said I didn't hear anything. Whether you were buzzing to the wall or anything, no, serious. I said, you should read your book. I'm wanting ice cream. If I have ice cream, then I rub it in your nose. What are you talking about? So I can ask the Lord for something and you just go back, you're not serious. I don't see. I think he has the right to do that. Do you get my point? But as we're asking, I'm an asker. I don't know about you. Me, I'm an asker. Do you get my point? I'm an asker. If I want to put my foot on the moon, I will ask. The Lord has to say, Banky, the moon. What do you want to do with the moon? Yeah. I just say, I want to put my foot on the moon. You say, why? I believe he will ask why. And sometimes when I don't have a good reason to me, I'll just... Now, when I say good reason, I don't mean a very spiritual reason. Do you know, one day I asked the Lord for a vehicle, all right? I'll tell you about it later. And I said, Lord, I don't need it. All right? But it feels good. You know, if you drive that thing now, your head will align. And I just talk like that. They say, Lord, I'm waiting. When you have it ready, this is where I would like to park it. That's it. And I leave it. Has he brought it? No, he has it. He has it. If he does, all right, I will come. He will say, collect it by faith. I don't have time for that kind of thing. No, to be honest with you, I don't have that kind of. The faith I have learnt is like that of a wind child. Yeah. That's the faith I have learnt. The faith that I declare, I use it for other things. I'm preaching this morning, I use that faith for that kind of thing. There are things that I harass the Lord about in court. That when I'm preaching, this is what I want to happen. To bless the people that you have sent me to. Hey, let's use this. Do you get my point? Declare for that. But that you want to look at it, it's all of that things shall be added into you. That is the way I look at that. But I'm an asker. I don't know about you. I'm an asker. Like they say, why worry when you can pray? But a lot of people, you know what they do? Why pray when you can worry? And I'm preaching to you this morning. This is the life of the garden. The life of asking. The life in which you don't worry. A lot of things people call wise planning is nothing but organized worrying. Organized worrying. Formalized worrying. See, they say plan. I told the story many times. Somebody said, come and save money with us. Then in 20 years, as if in 15 years, we'll give you 200,000. I can't remember. The money was 500 naira a month. And I told the person, in 15 years' time, that money you are promising me won't mean anything to me. Exactly what the Lord did. Different ways. Of course, inflation is a critical part of it. Inflation made my 500 naira at that time almost worth 10% of the 200,000 when it was due for it to be handed to me. Yeah. By the time that money was due, the rent I was paying, it was much more than that. I said, so this is what I will say. And I was there. I'm telling you. My dad did it. When they paid him the 2,000, I couldn't buy him one. It looks like small money, right? But it was 2,000 pounds from 1970-something. You don't get my point. He started that scheme when Nigeria was still using pounds, before Naira was introduced. And 2,000 pounds, at the time he went in, will have gotten a minimum of 3 brand new cars. Brand new vehicles. By the time they finally paid him 2,000 naira, his car he bought years before, a Peugeot 504 from Pan, brand new then, it was already almost, it was 7,000 something. That was long before this. When they promised him the 2,000, you could buy at least 3 brand new cars. It was pounds. Yes, yeah, I'm trying to get my calculations right. If not 3, maybe 2. But it was in this early self. Do you get my point? It was long ago. Someone will not teach me today. I said, look, this is not America. Even America, the dollar of the 70s is less than half the price of today's dollar. But to the glory of God, as at the time the guy will have given me 200,000 naira, he couldn't pay my rent and I was not owing my landlord. I have asked the Lord, and I'm teaching you, this is the life of the garden. Ask. They say, a time will come, your children will need to go to school. Ask. Say to the Lord, see, Lord, my oldest child is 10, the youngest one is 2, and my wife is pregnant. I'm not using you to preach. There are other people that are pregnant. If he's asking that, it's prophetic. Oh, okay, good. So let me enter. She said, Papa, prophesy. So let me prophesy. I should go deeper. Thank you. Now, this is the depth of the Spirit. That's what I'm giving you now. All right? Say to the Lord, it's simple. Say, Lord, I'm asking you. Now, listen, as you have promised. Because that's the thing. Because what he promised, that's the basis for asking. As you have promised, Lord, let these children never lack. Lord, the time to go to university, anywhere in the world I want to send them to, may money not be a problem. Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name. And leave it. I said anywhere in the world so that money will not be. Ask the Lord. See, God knows how he solves his own problem. Ben Carson told a story. I've told that story many times. His mother said, all we need to do is ask the Lord for it. America wrote laws to ensure that Ben Carson went to a school, Johns Hopkins, that he normally would not have been able to go to. You know, people will not say, you know, he was lucky that it. Luck is created. What's wrong with you? When God has blessed you because you asked, they will say you were lucky. You were not lucky from the beginning. It was because God wanted to bless you. He rearranged things and it now fell into your hands. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Why? Because I have a goodly heritage. Let me tell you, when Saul was picked by Samuel, it was by chance. I don't know whether you hear what I said. We all know God has spoken to Samuel that Saul will be the king. Saul was sent to the house of Samuel because donkeys were missing and they were looking for donkeys. Saul had been told by Samuel, you are the chosen by the Lord. Samuel now kept that to himself. He now said, Israel, gather, let us choose a king. He now started throwing dice. They cast lots. They chose the tribe of Benjamin. They cast lots again. They chose one house. They cast lots again. He picked Kish, the father of Saul. Then they cast lots again for the sons of Kish. He picked Saul. You know, Samuel was doing like this. Watching them. He did not put his hand on the dice. He did not motivate anybody. That was the last time when they were doing the election. When some people said, this is the Lord's anointed. They now went on air. Vote for him. I said, you are not sent by God. See, if the Lord really sent, go and meet Sardus Zavaraj, who told America, he told them Barack Obama is your next president. He did not go to campaign for Barack Obama. He told them again, Barack Obama is your next president. He did not campaign for Barack Obama. He told them again, Donald Trump is your next president. Nobody thought Donald Trump was serious. He told them, that's your next president. The man became president. Do you know the funny thing? Let me just tell you this, it'll make you laugh. The same man, he liked Donald Trump for certain reasons. All right? I'm also on his side in that area. When he saw the next election going, he rushed to America and began to tell them to pray. But he said something. He said the Lord said to him that if they pray, he will give Donald Trump 4 more years in office. I remember those words. He did not say he will win the next election. It was striking because I know that man well. If the Lord had told him that, he would have said that. He was afraid, apparently, he seemed. He went around the futures in America and warned them and explained at the end of the day, Donald Trump lost the next election to Joe Biden in a very funny way. I don't want to talk about that now. But that prophet has said, God said what? I will give him 4 more years. To everybody's shock, 4 years later, Donald Trump won with a landslide victory. He won the popular votes. He won the electoral votes. He won the electoral votes by a very clear margin. He won and won and won and so won that they even joked about he coming for the third term. Something that is against American law as of today. People are now talking about how can he do the third term. That they said he cannot be voted for the third term. So he can come as a running mate. Then the main guy will resign. They will become... I'm telling you what Americans discussed. I read in their news. Yeah. You know, just by the way, when they were abusing your country, say, you see your country, see, Obasanjo tried third term, right? Americans are also dreaming it. So don't make it look like you live in a barbaric country. That's why you are not blessed. That is not why you are not blessed, though. Why the country is the way it is a different matter. If God breathes blessing upon us, it will come. Yes, let's leave that. Where I'm going is that, do you know? So when I saw Nigerian prophets going on air, I said, vote for this man. Vote for this person. This is the Lord's church. Vote for him. I said, God did not send you. If he did, you don't have to tell us anything. You will just say it and go home and sit down. I'm talking about Saul. Saul was picked as king by casting lots. And that which God had told Samuel before came to pass. So when you see chance, it only plays into the place where God had already determined. So when they tell you are lucky, let them know that it is not luck that came by Hitchens and Dawkins' theory of randomness. It is luck that is a manifestation of God's blessing. Lucky is a colloquial word for blessed. Yeah. See, that man is just lucky. It means he's blessed. It means he's blessed. So, chance things will start happening to you. You will mistakenly build a house. Now, listen to this as an example. In an area that looks like it's forest today. And then maybe you wanted to build a duplex. That's what you like to. And the Lord will just tap you. No, now. It's the same money. Do 4 flats. Your wife will say, oh, no, now. Zapaja has a duplex. Temedu has a duplex. You know, this one has a duplex. You say, sweetheart, what's in my heart? It's 4 flats. Let's just do it. I don't know why it's so strong in my heart. So you do 4 nice, decent flats, and you pack into one of them. I just got an example. See, people are preparing for retirement. Just watch what the Lord is doing for you. 20 years down the line. If you have been in Enugu in 20 years, you know what I'm talking about. What used to be bush, is now a thriving metropolis. Their business is up and down. The land you bought for $1 million, at that time, they are selling one plot for 150 million. And your house happens to be a corner plot and a block of 4 flats. And government approved rezoning into business districts. Someone now comes, sir, will you sell? Sell, okay. Yeah, this building just fits our business. We're going to do this, please, sir, if you don't mind. Now, there's a new touche area that's developed. We'll give you a plot that's twice this size there and finish a duplex there. And we'll give you the change, 1 billion naira. What do you think? That is where your wife will say, I knew my husband was inspired. That time she went, she would go to church and be testifying. I knew that he used to hear from God. You know, when he goes at night and he prays, I knew the Lord was talking to him. He did not believe that until last week. Oh. Then suddenly you pack and say, wait, that's my retirement plan. God just arranged. With the money, instead of doing one, the balance they gave you, you do 3 other there. So 4 flats there, 4 duplexes here. Someone has said, you know, this is what I hate. People have said, you see, when you want to build, think about the future. Ask, where is the next business district of this city going? Because, did not mention your name. Because when Brother Andrew first built his house, he saw into the future. Somebody said, God, give me a vision. God didn't give him any vision. You know, we turn somebody's blessing to an experience that has to be replicated. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. He did not have a vision. He just felt like having floor flat instead of a duplex. That's all. He just what? Felt. These feelings, people turn and you know, my spirit is saying, just use the right word, I feel. Because as your spirit lied yesterday, you understand? It's how he's telling the truth today. It's a feeling. No, better to say, as he's telling the truth now, so did he lie to you last week and 2 weeks ago. And you've forgotten because nothing came out of that feeling. You now want to make it spirit now. People have gone to learn how to hear their spirit. There's no such technology. You hear what I said? There's no such. See, what you just need to do as a Christian, keep on feeding your heart with the word of God. Obey the truth until your feeling aligns with God's own. There's no thing my spirit is how you felt. It's good to have feelings in righteousness. Train your feeling to feel correctly. Do you follow my point? What do I mean? When you feel, as an example, flesh, sexual, that kind of thing, make sure it's your wife you are feeling to. Do you follow my point? When you do that for years, your feeling will not realize that this guy not to go against God. It's not it didn't go the wrong way. You slapped it back into order. And nobody, even dogs, they don't like being slapped. Train your feeling. That's what I'm saying. Train it by doing the right thing all the time. How do you train your feeling? Answer me. By doing the right thing all the time. That's how you train your feeling. If your feeling goes, physically, take that meat. It's not your own. They are bringing your own. Somebody else has. Don't be covetous. Some people say, it is love. Let me take your meat. We are at a party. They are going to serve your own. This is the only one I have. I will smile for you. I can't fight you. But you've taken my meat. You're covetous. The Lord is good. You train your feeling by doing the right thing all the time. What did I say? Say it again. One will say right, the one that is instructed, the one that is recorded. So when we ask, there are different ways. I just give an idea. Look, one man, you know, some of us may know him, you know. If it's a place many of us who travel might know, okay? He did a business, it almost collapsed. He went into debt. When God wanted to recover it for him, you know what God did? He sent El-Rufai as the minister of FCT under Obasanjo. Obasanjo looked at Abuja. He said, this is not the Abuja we planned. This is not the Abuja we envisioned originally. Because they were there. They were the ones that started the Abuja. Abuja was not Abacha or Babangida. Abuja was... You know, people like to play tribal politics. They say, the North, it's not the North. From the beginning, Lagos was not meant to be the capital. Abuja was meant to be. It's when they would develop Abuja that's the issue. When Abuja was being developed, this man went and built a massive plaza there. Business now went bad. Let's make a long story short. Obasanjo came back and said, this is not the Abuja we envisioned. Now, these were his words. We heard from Atiku. He said, somebody find me a madman who can clean the place for me. That was what Obasanjo said. Anyway, the man was made Abuja minister. You know, you need to know that this country is blessed. We had some crazy people as FCT minister. There's one right now whose name I shall not mention. But in all their craziness, what they do to that city, they transform the place. Yeah, you can laugh at them, call them names, but when they touch the place, everybody, I have friends who live in Abuja. They are so happy with this minister. They are so, my friend said, I never knew my neighbor who would look like this. He said, come and see the road in the front of... The guy is so excited. Anyway, let me make a long story short. El-Rufai became minister. Where's the master plan? He brought it out. He started demolishing. Oh God, the man pulled out hundreds of houses. Yeah, because he said, it's not approved according to the original master plan. And listen, when you want to run your life, ask God, what is my master plan? Lest I build what you have to pull down later. I know what I'm telling you. This man went around pulling down buildings. He demolished churches, demolished mosques. Then when everybody kept quiet, was when he started demolishing sitting senators, Senate presidents, Supreme Court justice, the house went down. And you know when everybody kept quiet? When they went to a federal ministry of works, he looked at their building. Belonging to the federal government. You don't get my point. The building, massive building, belonging to the federal government. He told bulldozers to come and remove the building. After that, everybody kept quiet. You know the funny part? When they finished pulling down, you know what he did there? He planted grass. He replaced the building with grass. There's supposed to be a green area in Abuja. Remove this federal building for me. What am I telling the whole story? That remember the man of God I was telling you about? That man. He was telling me, he said, man of God. Before I knew what was happening, they ran to my plaza. He said, I started increasing the price. Today is 100,000. Next day I tell him it's 200. He said, do you know what? They were paying. Now I'm telling you his word. He said, man of God, they were paying. He said, now I have, 4 banks are my customer. When God demolished all the legal structures, his own suddenly launched in value. This was something that he lost so much money on, he drove him to the edge. I know what I'm telling you. See, the life of the believer is what? Ask. Different ways he will arrange your own. Different ways. Mary Kay asked, said she invested in a business and forgot. Her son called and said, Mommy, why is it everything you touch turns to gold? She, at the point in that she was making $100,000 every month from that side business. Do you follow my point? I told you, don't corrupt your witness. You remember that? Make sure you're a witness. I've heard of people tell me that, listen, I'm on this board for this company. Why? Only one reason. They said they want a man of integrity. You are the name they gave us. Being on the board, you're dashing 5% of a company didn't contribute a dime to start. And it's an oil, I don't mean palm oil, I mean petroleum company. At the end of the year, when they declare profit, they just give you that 5%. And it's huge money. It's in foreign currency. Do you follow my point? See, the believer's life is what? Ask. It's an asking life. Let me run through the other things, then I close. Well, I'm practicing how to ask. Oh. Yes, you have to. Remember Adam and Eve? They chose independence. You know, we talked about that. They went for independence. So if you want the life of the garden, you get rid of independence from God. Remember that? When they ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was because they wanted to be independent. If you want to have the life of the garden, get rid of your independence. And that is what worship is about. No, we're going back to this worship thing. Yes. I don't have time to go through it again. Worship, let me just say this again. Worship is manifested in gratitude. When you eat food, you are grateful. And you're not doing it as a habit. That's how we eat in our family. No. You really are grateful. You know what I think? It's a habit you cultivate from the place of food, but you spread to everything. When you wear clothes, be grateful. You bring out your shoes to wear. You bring out your shoes. Before you put your feet in them, give the Lord thanks. You stand before your car in the morning, you're about to wash it or you're about to start it. Look at the car and give thanks. You want to write a check for somebody, you want to transfer money. Maybe like I've been saying, making like a joke. My son says, we are supposed to pay school fees. And all you have to say to him is, how much? You should give thanks. Don't take it like, you know, in a country where things work. Stop that. No. Brethren, please, let me go there again. Don't make your life a country life. You get my point? In a country where, no. Your life is a life of the garden. It's a life of the garden. Where things don't work, your Heavenly Father lives there. Where things work, it is still your Heavenly Father that lives there. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So don't ascribe your lack to the country where you live. Because if you do, you're in trouble. You've said to your Heavenly Father, you are not in control. So if you don't have something, don't say this kind of country. Don't say it. It's not this kind of country. Heavenly Father, why have you not given me? You have not given me. He has many reasons, and a lot of the times, you are the reason why he has not been able to give. His hand is not shutting that I cannot deliver. Sometimes you have placed yourself in a place where he can't do something. Go and pray and say, Lord, why? Don't say in a country, no. You activate the kind of realm you want to live in by faith. That's the point I'm making. So before you transfer that money for the school fees, take a moment and say, Lord, thank you. The other day, I was talking to my son. He goes to a university and it's private. So, I mean, it's a bit pricey. I mean, not like it's too pricey for education, but compared to the government school where the other people go to, I pay some money. So I said, lectures have started. He said, yes, your classmates are back. He said, some of them have not paid their fees. Hey. I just said to him, do you have any close friend amongst them? That's where I'm going. If you have a friend that's really in need and you could help, let me know. Do you follow where I'm going? Because I can pay your money without breaking my head is a gift of God. It's not wise planning. I told you, the house where we live now, I once in a while I remind my wife, I said, do you know we never tried to get a house? No, there was no attempt. There was no time when my wife and I joined her in the name of Jesus in this city. I didn't, honestly, people talk about me? Stress? Over what? You stress over what you are thinking about. Do you get my point? Look, so please, if you want to pray, that's what I'm saying. Don't, if God does anything for you in your life, don't say this country, no country. Don't take yourself out of the place where God has control. It's a spiritual thing we are dealing with here. Don't join those on the street who like to grumble. See, I told you my neighborhood, because it's a relatively new area. Once you leave that roundabout after Brown and Brown, the what they call New Artisan, just off the express, the road is not good anymore. My wife said, Kai, this area. She started praying about the road. Man of God, preacher. I didn't want the faith to join her. Okay, let's share this one. You'll be praying about the road. If she prays when I'm there, maybe I'll have praying about something. Father, about this road. I said amen out of duty. Except that next round of election was coming. Their current governor came to my neighborhood to campaign. I wasn't even aware. So he told them, the neighbor, what do they need? And the neighborhood gathered and said, the road is not good. They told him, all of that. Okay, so he said to them that if he wins this election, this is the promise he has. He measured the length of road we fix in that neighborhood. So they said, no problem. Make a long story short, he won the election. And someone went and reminded him, within a few weeks, months, after sitting in office, we saw bulldozers everywhere. I wanted to now go back to join my wife in prayer. Do you follow? We saw bulldozers everywhere. Man, they did good quality gutter drains everywhere. Then put the road in order. So to get to my house is only the last 30 seconds that you drive not being on perfectly smooth asphalted road. Only the last 30 seconds. What I remember is that my wife said, look, this is the prayer point. God can do this. And she began to pray about it. Well, let me round off. We must worship. I've been saying that again and again. The number two. Now, these are a few principles. Let me list them in case I never get, because that means see the way it's going. You know the way it is. Uh-huh. This mouth, sometimes you know it's not your own. Once you mount the pulpit, the owner collects it. The only time you manage to get it back is when you want to yap dummy and chisel. You are not even sure it's you that's yapping them. It may even be the Lord himself. It may be. Maybe it's the Lord that's prophesying that dummy is a very cool man. He doesn't do anything that is wrong. Yes. It's a man of God. It's a faithful man of God. He loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Hallelujah. Yes. It's a husband of one wife. Literally a man of one woman. Jesus, I also have the Lord, the prophesy over like this. Hey, am I seeing unbelief? You can't tell the Lord what to say. Say amen to the one he said. Say amen again. How many things we say? Like seven. So your amen should sound like thunder. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Does that one count? She laughed. Okay, Sarah also laughed, so it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, we have two more minutes to go. Amen. Uh-huh, last one. Amen. Uh-huh. Reverend Yenka finishes with thunderous amen. Amen. Uh-huh. The Lord is good. All right. Okay, she asked the Lord that she wants prophecy too. Dami, your wife is a good wife. She's a submissive wife. She does not argue with her husband. She sees wisdom in what he says. And Sarah laughed, but doesn't matter. The Lord still blessing her. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I've spoken for so long, eh? The Lord is good. So let me just run through a few of the principles that we live. I've talked about worship. I don't have time. I said one, worship manifests as gratitude and submission. And you must hope in what? Mercy. Don't ever forget it. What we are getting from the Lord is not what we deserve, but what we begged for. Many times we deserve judgment, we don't get it. That's because of mercy. Another important principle, I'll just run through them, I won't explain because of time. Faithfulness and diligence. We must be faithful, we must be diligent. Work is not a sign of the fall. Adam, the first thing God told him, guard it and keep it. He was given an assignment to do in the garden. He was not supposed to go to the garden and be lazing around. So don't make it look like work is something that it came upon us because of the Adam's fall. No. Another one, the rightful use of the mouth. Speak, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if you want to live a garden life, your mouth must be trained. Then this one is very important. The law of moderation. It's called self-control. You know, I use the word moderation, but the Bible uses the word self-control. We'll look at it later. Self-control is a critical thing. The world does not like to teach self-control. They want to teach some other methods. Most of the diets, the problems they have in some of these countries, start with childhood obesity because children were not controlled in what they could eat. Children ate all the time, ate anyhow. The parents could not control them. If you want to live the life of the garden, you have to have self-control. You must be temperate or temperate. What's that English word? Temperate. Temperate is a climate, too. Okay, that's King James, right? That's correct. My Bible uses the word disciplined. Okay. So you must be temperate in all things, which means it's not every food that's in front of you, you eat. So when people go for buffet, they must taste everything. It's ungodly. Do you get my point? You eat the Mexican food, you take from the Indian one, Italian one, you go taste. Then the African one is your normal thing now. That was your main cause. You're not having diarrhea. It's because you broke the law of God. A lot of the diet problems in the world today is because of childhood indiscipline. Did you get my point? Yes. And you know the truth? A lot of men who commit adultery up and down, they learned it as children. As teenagers. Yeah, they learned as teenagers. They now start giving you stupid doctrine on, there's one stupid doctor that's going around training men on how to prevent prostate cancer. And I look at him and I said, you see, you don't have work. You have no fear of God. Somebody asked me whether it's true, because they know I'm also a doctor. I said, forget whether it's true or false. Is that what your life is about? God gave you this life, so you must be having sex 21 times a month. It's not better to fulfill your destiny and then die of prostate cancer than don't have it, then don't fulfill your destiny. Are you crazy? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I said, I'm not even going to enter into that discussion. If a man wants to womanize, why does he have to use medicine to prove it? So he now said the argument is that a wife should please allow their husband to have second wives or side chicks. I said, my brother, it's easier for your wife to tolerate it than for you to manage it. So you can see that your logic doesn't follow. Are you getting my point? Yes, my friend, get out. When people are indisciplined from when they are young, they now sit down with you and say, why can't one marry two wives? In fact, once I start having that discussion, my wife knows I don't love her anymore. Is that not so? Yeah, it is. When I'm having an argument on why can't I have two wives, then why can't she have two husbands? Ah, pastor, abomination. I agree with it, it's an abomination. Your own too is madness. So let's sit on the word of God. We are Christians for goodness sake. In the garden, how many Adams were there? How many Eves? If you want to live life in the garden, you know what I'm saying.
The Lord is good. So it's important. We'll talk about it later. God will help us. The law of self-control. Many of the problems in this life right now came because of lack of self-control. They say mental illness is increasing in this life. Yes, because indiscipline increased in childhood. That's what happened. And as part of that, whatever you do, Paul warned about it. He said, flee sexual immorality. And please, don't even try to justify sexual deviance. Don't. Nobody was born a homosexual. Nobody was born a lesbian. All of them were initiated when they were young. And then don't forget, one of the critical laws of the garden is rest. What did I say?
Rest.
You must rest. And generally in life, you must maintain scriptural values on everything. From how you spend your money, to how you plan your future, so-called planning your future, how you raise your children, how you deal with your staff, how you deal with your boss, how you deal with your nation, you must maintain scriptural values over in everything. And that last of all, and actually, I think I already mentioned the last thing. I shall put that one last, which is rest. Don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. Let him handle things. So that will be the last principle of it. It's actually on that rest. Trusting God, resting in him, allowing him to take care of everything, committing your life into his hands. We are back to where we began from. The issue of what? Asking. All right, so I just did a small summary just so that if we end up not doing it, at least you will know the topics, they are there. We take them one by one. God helping me. I've been trying. Don't think. See, some of you think I don't try to do this. I try. But ask Dami. There's a way this work is. Your mouth seems to have its own direction once you come to preach. You know, there are two scriptures there that conflict each other, it seems. That the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I said, it is true. But the Bible also says, quench not the spirit. So even though it is subject, there are times I can't quench it. I can quench it if I want, but the Bible says I should not. So I didn't quench it today. At least I have stopped now. But let's bow down our heads and just tell the Lord, thank you. Let's just tell the Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's tell him, thank you. Let's say, Father, the life of the garden is the life I've chosen. Say that to him. And I want you to call him our Father. The life of the garden is the life I have chosen. Say, our Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, we're going to do two things now. We're going to recite the prayer, that Lord's prayer, and then we'll share the grace. All right, let's take it. Our Father, I want to, let's go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Can you bless the people beside even as you are seated there? Another person, this is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, one for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, cheer up, brethren.